everybody. Thank you, Father. What a great God. Isn't He good? Well, we've been studying the words of Jesus. How many know His words are important? Matter of fact, they're the most important words you'll ever hear in your lifetime. A lot of times we're willing to listen to everybody and everything, but we don't really take note of the words Jesus said. I'm going to say it again. They're the most important words you'll ever hear in your lifetime. And we hear a lot of people. We got our favorite. We've all been there and done that. We got our favorite preacher and everybody. But there's no words more important than what Jesus said. None. Because we say things, but we have motives, agendas. We want to be articulate. We want to have charisma. Jesus wasn't worrying about none of those things. You know what He said? The words that I speak, they're not mine. He didn't even take ownership to them. He said, they're not mine. So we have everybody in here? Nursery, everybody. Today's a day, mamas, hold your babies. We hold them all every Sunday. They can sit there, be quiet, and listen. They need to be exposed to what's about to happen. Be the most important thing in their life. Most important. So we got things that they need to know and understand, and we want them to see that. So this will be the only Sunday we do it. We'll be right back on schedule. But today is a day to remember. I'm going to read some words of Jesus in a little bit to you. When I read these words that Jesus said, don't take them as my words. They're not my words. I'm just reading what He said. Okay? Now, once you hear what He said, you got to let that sink in and you got to decide, what am I going to do? Now, in this building, we don't have everybody. All right? We don't have everybody today. That's a problem. Because when a word from the Lord comes and you don't have everybody, that means people miss it. And let me tell you, you can't afford to miss it. You can't afford it. So we can keep going round and round or think this or that about what's going to happen. But I'm going to tell you, we're living in a time where the Lord is very clear to get our attention to tell us this is what you need to do. And so I hope that you understand. Listen, I love to preach. I'm a preacher. I've been doing it for 30 years. I love to preach. I could have made a presentation and come up here and did the same thing I've been doing for 30 years. But that's not what the Lord called me to do. He called me to speak His words. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to tell you what He's telling me, and you can take it from there. So I can fancy you. I can charisma you. I can do all those things. That's not hard. But I ask the Lord, what do you want? What do you want? We come. How many of you know we're about to hit some? Let me just say it this way. We're about to hit some deadlines. There's some deadlines we're about to hit. And if we don't get it right and you hit those deadlines, it's over. But we don't want to miss God. We don't miss anything He's got for us. Listen, I've been in this thing for too long for me to get to the end in the final stretch and for me to somehow miss God. Ain't nobody want to miss Him in the final stretch. The worst time to lose is in the fourth quarter. With just a few seconds left. That's the worst time to lose. And let me tell you, we are at the end. We're at the end, and you don't want to lose. Why would you waste all the years you've been going to church and serving God? Don't mean you've been perfect. No, I have I. But why would you waste that in the end just to find out that we just slipped that one time and we missed God? That's why we got to check ourselves. We got to see what God is saying. So I was praying and going over things and just sharing my heart with the Lord, saying, God, what I want is what You want. And I said, I know I'm studying these words, but I said, these words are important. They can't just be words. And so I come across these words of Jesus during my prayer time. I came across these words. I'm going to read it to you. And then I'm going to do what the Lord has told me to do in this service. But I want to read these words to you, and I hope that you'll understand. Now, I could have put them easily could have put them on a slide. But I want you to open your Bible, whatever you're using, and go to these verses here, and let me read them to you. And then we're going to do whatever it is God wants. How many is okay with that? Now in Luke chapter 13, Luke chapter 13, verses 31, we'll start there. Now I'm going to get to the words of Jesus. If you have a red letter edition, you'll see these words are going to be written in red in a little bit. There's an introduction first, kind of sets the context, but then it quickly gets to the red, right? And that's what we've been studying, the words of Jesus. I want you to hear these words. They're very important words. Very critical. It's critical for your babies to hear it. Your babies need to encounter what's about to happen. We don't mind interacting them with everything else. Sometimes we even demand their interaction. But you got to make sure they encounter what's about to happen. And that's the power of God. Let me tell you. I'm disappointed this morning already. Disappointed because folks should be here. You can't miss the word of God. You can't afford that. It's horrible when that happens. Maybe God, just maybe, maybe, just maybe, he'll give us another chance. I don't know. So he's God. I know today we got a chance. Today we got a chance to fix everything. Not some things. We can be very selective on what spot we want God to touch our hearts. We want him to come over here to the part where I've been hurt. We want him to come over here and touch this part and that part, but we don't want him to go into the deep recesses. Well, we've been hiding. We don't want him there. But that's what he wants to do today. If you're going to let him in, you got to let him all the way in. Sometimes we want a foot in the door, but we don't want him. When he comes, he'll challenge us, and he'll challenge every part of us. How many know the word? The Lord has a word for everybody here. Everybody. He had a word for people in out here. That's disappointing. All right. 31. Luke 13, 31. Just at that time, some Pharisees approached, saying to him, "Go away, leave here, for Herod wants to kill you." So keep this is just setting the context here. They tell him, the Pharisees, now these were rulers, these were religious leaders. Tell Jesus, go away, don't stay here, Herod wants to kill you. And he said to them, this is Jesus' words, "Go and tell that fox, behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow." How many of you know Jesus had insight about today and tomorrow? You ever wondered why? Because his Father's God. And all authority has been given to him. He said, "You go tell that fox that I cast out demons and cure, and I'm not only going to do it today, I'm going to do it tomorrow." Today and tomorrow. In other words, he says, "I ain't going anywhere. So you go tell him I'm here, and I'll be here again tomorrow." And this is what he said. "And the third day, I reach my goal." Is there anybody here hearing it? It's going to be difficult for you. I'm just going to read it. Now, this is not my charisma. I'm just going to read to you the anointed word of God. He said, "Go tell that fox, I cure, I cast out demons, I cure, and I'll be here today and tomorrow, and the third day I'll reach my goal." Is anybody ready for that? Anybody ready for your third day experience? First, we got to deal with today and tomorrow, and it gets me ready for my third day. I'll reach my goal. Anybody want to do that? I'm just reading the words of Jesus. This is what he said. "Nevertheless, I must journey on today and tomorrow in the... Is anybody seeing this? I must journey today, tomorrow, and the next day. Is he not talking about what he just said? For it cannot be that a prophet would perish outside of Jerusalem. Would he just call himself a prophet? So I must go. See, I want to tell you right now, the time demands what's about to happen. Demands it. We got today, tomorrow, and the next day. Now that, to me, that would be an urgency. Well, Jesus noticed that this was an urgency because a prophet can't perish outside Jerusalem. So this is what he says. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together just as a hen her brood under her wings, and you would not have it. And you would not have it. Do you see that? Behold, your house is left to you desolate. And I say to you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So he's telling, listen, their time had come. He said, you got today, tomorrow, and the third day, I will reach my goal. Did he not say that? Did he not say? He said, I got to get busy. I ain't got time to be threatened by Herod. So you go tell that fox. He has no idea the demand on my life to do what God has ordained me to do. He has no idea. Do you understand today that we have a demand on our life to do what he's asked us to do? Do we even act that way? Do we really see that we have a demand on us? Time is so near, and he knew that. He said, because I have to get busy and do what I'm going to do, because no prophet can die outside the room. He said, that's got to be. But notice him in the face of all this, in the face of knowing what was about to happen, everything, he had a complete full knowledge. What did he do? He yielded. He didn't get in this fight with Herod. He just laid it out. I'm going to tell you, the fight that God wants us to fight a good fight in is not what many people think it is. We're in the wrong fight. We bite and devour one another. And hadn't fought the good fight of faith. And to do that, you got to keep the course. You got to finish the race. You can't be one that beats, but like one that beats the air. So we can go back and talk about when we started and how long we've been here. But what are we going to do when it gets close to the end? Can we finish? Jesus said, I'm going to finish. I'm going to finish this thing. Now, he was focused on 3 days. Today, tomorrow, and the third day. I hope that you see this. It's powerful. It's powerful. Now go to Luke 19. I can read it in Matthew also, but I'm sure that you can cross-reference that and go find it. Let's see. Luke 19, let's look at verse 41. But we're still dealing with this same scenes happening. Because he's talking about Jerusalem. Now watch what happens in 1941. When he, talking about Jesus, approached Jerusalem, he saw the city and what did he do? He wept over it. He wept over it. He looked and he goes, I can't believe it. Here I am. You're going to crucify me. He wept over it. Saying, now this is his weeping prayer, his statement. The words of Jesus, again, is what we've been studying. Listen to what he said. He says this. If you had known in this day, even you, the things which make for peace, but now they have been hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will throw up a barricade against you and surround you and hem you in on every side. Do you hear this prophet? And they will level you to the ground and your children within you, and they will not leave in you one stone upon another because you did not recognize the time of your visitation. You did not recognize the time of your visitation. Let me tell you, this is critical. I can go to Isaiah. I'll give it to you for your reading. Isaiah 29, verse 1 through 16. You can go back and read it. The prophecy that this was Jesus would say these very words. You did not recognize the hour of your visitation. That's critical. Now, this is all, again, built around the threat. There's a threat. How many know there's a threat on everybody? Everybody has a threat that you will lose your freedom, lose your liberty, your right to worship the Lord. There's a threat around the world. This is no joke. This is not a time to be a joke or wishy-washy. You got to make some serious decisions. Everything is on the line. We live in a time right now where everything's on the line, and life as we know it could definitely come to a screeching halt if we don't listen carefully to the voice of the prophet. And I'm speaking on the behalf of the Lord Jesus when he left us. These are his words. So when he was faced with the threat, he didn't succumb to the threat. He said, you go tell that fox, I'm going to cast out demons and cure today and tomorrow, and the third day I'll reach my goal. I'm not stopping. There's no time to stop. And then I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, what else? Now all of this is for you to hear. Not only you that are here, but those who should be here to hear. And should the Lord release it to be told again, that's up to the Lord. That's why you got to be careful. You got to quit listening to your mind. We're led more by our mind and our feelings and our emotions than we're led by the Holy Spirit. Because if I went by my mind and my feelings, I'd have put up about 30 slides today and easily cakewalk through this service and shook your hand and tell you we'll see you next service. But I have a heavier mandate on my life. And I didn't come here so you can be happy about what I say. I come here to tell you what the Lord said. And he has definitely given me these words. I said, Lord, I'm really not in this yet, this particular part. But I'm just telling the Lord, I can go to the next verse, right? 13. Remember, we in John, I can go to 13, 14, 15. We got all sorts of things to talk about. But I said, what about today, right now, this particular moment in time? What's the most critical thing that Jesus said that we need to hear right now? I had no Bible there. I was just praying. And it rose up in me. Oh, how often I want to gather them as a hen gathers the chicks. They wouldn't have it. You know how many times? Time after time after time after time. And you got to ask yourself, how many more times? Oh, how I want to gather them as a hen gathers and cover them, protect them. We don't mind being close to the protection. And we okay because we tell ourselves, I'm going to be okay because I'm right next to God. I'm going to tell you, we're living in a time next to Him's not close enough. I'm convinced some of you are not even next to Him. But if you think you are, that's not close enough. We got to be under His wing of protection. We got to be underneath His covering. Because you're going to get just so quickly, you'll be pulled out. It wouldn't even be funny. Just quickly. And then you go, I don't know why. I just don't love the Lord no more. I used to love Him. But I don't know why. I can't get motivated. I used to be the first one at church, the last one to leave. But I can't get motivated no more. I can tell you why. You've lived your life right next to Him, but never would come under His protection. The Bible says, those who dwell in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge. We don't mind quoting that, but how many times have we went under His protection? We want God to move from where He is to come bail us out of where we've been. We wouldn't even gotten there if we'd have stayed underneath His protection. And that's our prayers. Come get me out. Help me, fix me. Do this, do that. But we missed it. We don't want to do that. I was going to read Isaiah, but you can read it. It's the prophecy. It's foretold by Jesus. He prophesied it, reiterated the prophecy of Isaiah. So there's a time period. There's a frame of time that is worked in even in our life that we can't afford to miss. We can't afford it. So we got to get it right. How many understand that? So I'm going to tell you some things today. I'm going to tell you things maybe independent of everybody else. Though they may be here, but I want you to listen to me careful. Carefully listen to me. Because it could mean everything to you. Everything. It'll change everything about you. Now, we all want more. We all want to be in a better relationship with the Lord. We have desires. We do. Because I think about it all the time. I said, Lord, you know, overall, there's people around the world that they really want You. But we want Him on a level that we have set. We want Him to come on our level. But do we really want Him on His level? When you do that, you can't say what you want. You can't do what you want. You got to yield to Him completely. And I want to tell you, this morning I said to the Lord, I say, God, I want to yield to You. I want to do whatever it is You want. I mean, just because I can doesn't mean it's the right thing or the right time. I can keep going in John. It's so easy. I can finish the rest of the year out. Every service. I have something to preach on every service. That can go into next year. It's not that I'm looking for anything. I say, God, the Bible's so full of incredible things. And it's all the Word of God. But what do You want today? What's the danger that we're headed to? What's the crisis that people may not even realize? You ever thought about it? You ever thought about your life? You ever thought about whether or not you would live through the year? You ever thought about those things? You ever thought about what you're doing, what you're saying, how you're acting, the way, whatever you're doing? You ever thought that it could be the very thing that's causing you to have Jesus say the same thing over our life? He looks at Jerusalem and he wept. And he said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophet." Let me tell you something. This is not about me being the speaker. I yield to the Lord today. I'm telling you, I just spoke the words of Jesus. Are we going to be the ones who kills the prophet? To kill the prophet, maybe you say, "Well, I was there. If I'd be there, no way I would have participated in that." We kill the prophet when we don't listen to him. If we don't listen to what Jesus said, first thing we want to do is pass it on to somebody else, you just killed the prophet. That's exactly what you did. That can't be for me. God knew. You don't think he knew? Let me tell you something about God. He knew who would actually be here, and he knew who should be here. And everything that the Lord spoke to me and gave me today, that's why I can say what I'm saying. I'm saying it based upon the fact that I know what the Lord told me ahead of time. Even when I asked the Lord, I said, "But Lord, what if they're not there?" He said, "That doesn't matter. I'm still telling you. They may not." Why? Because you won't listen. You won't listen to the voice of the prophet. And we have to start listening. So the Pharisees, they were all worked up about Jesus getting caught by Herod. Herod was going to kill him. That's what Herod's intention was. Could he kill him? He had no power to kill him. He had no authority to kill him. His intention was to kill him, but he couldn't kill him because God had a different plan. That's why Jesus said what he said. He wasn't bragging. He wasn't being boastful. He said, "I'm telling you the facts. The facts are this. I'll be here today. I'll be here tomorrow, and the third day I'll reach my goal." I don't know about you, but when I read that, it exploded on the inside of me. It was so powerful to realize that we live in very precise time frames. The appointed times of the Lord. This is one of the appointed times. Today. Today is an appointed time. It's a time for us to embrace what God has for us. And be willing to listen and to grab hold to it, because this is an important time. Valuable for us. Valuable. Very critical that we hear it. It's important. How many understand that? So I want today to take some time so you'll be able to hear the Lord and what he's got to say. Now I'm going to give instructions. I'm going to give instructions to a lot of you, maybe not everybody, but I'm going to give instructions to you. You can take them and say they're from me. That's up to you. Or you can say, "I know the Lord had to do this." That's totally up to you. However you want to take it, you can take it. But I'm going to give you the instructions. And I wrestled with this and said to the Lord, I said, "Lord, how can I be a speaker? How can I be the speaker and make sure that what I say don't come from me, my brain? What I think." Because I said to the Lord, "It doesn't really matter what I think. What really matters is what you said." So I started out, I gave you the scripture. And I'm going to tell you, this is a critical time. Very critical. And I hope that you understand this. So let me tell you, how many want life? Let me just ask this question. How many think, according to what you read about who God is and what Christ has done for our lives, how many believe that we could see it better in our own personal family? We could see it better. Or maybe you're okay right where you are. Maybe so. I can tell you, if you want me to evaluate it, not me, on my brain, but by the Spirit of the Lord, you're in some deep trouble. You don't want to admit that, but maybe after the day you might. You're in deep trouble. Deep trouble. Number one, I know it simply because you didn't even realize the urgency of how important it is for these life changes until I read what I just read. You can preach, you can do whatever you want. It doesn't matter. You can see things in Scripture, but don't forget to grab hold to the urgency of how important it is for the application in your own life. And we don't want to do that. So this is valuable for us to grab hold to. Very important. And I kept going in my mind saying, you know, I wonder how, Lord, how is it you want to do this? What order do you want to do it in? How, you know, Lord, unless you tell me, I won't know. I have no idea. So I want you to embrace and don't worry about the kids. I don't care if they make noise. I don't care if they whine. I don't care if they cry. It's perfectly fine, and that's okay. You're not going to interfere with the Lord. They're not going to. If this is anointed by God, it's going to flow. If it's not, then something's wrong with it anyway. Do you understand? If a kid crying can do that, then they know no anointing. Do you understand that? So don't worry about that. So parents, I don't want you to be relieved of that. Don't worry about it. I don't care if they cry, scream. It doesn't make a difference. We're going to go down as the Spirit of the Lord reveals it, and we're going to minister. All right? And I want you to understand it. When I speak to you, I'm speaking to you. It's not for somebody else. I'm telling you what the Lord is saying. You can receive it. You can do whatever you want with it. But then we got today. We got tomorrow. And the third day I'll reach my goal. So I don't care if you're here today. Doesn't make no difference to me. Because we have tomorrow. And by the third day I'll reach my goal and then it'll be done. Is anybody hearing what I'm telling you? And by the third day, then I know the Lord did what he wanted to do. And I'll be released. So I want you to understand that. This is important. Very important. Very important for you to grab hold to and for you to embrace what God has for you. How many understand that? How many want what God has for you? Now ask the question, how many think it could be better? How many think it could be better for your family? The second thing, how many believe it could be better for your community? What about this community? Do you weep over this community? I was praying and just weeping over this community. Listen, you know how many hours have been put in this community? Does anybody have any idea? How much time that God, the favor of God was in it, and it's like people spit in God's face. And not only the spitting don't come from just the unbeliever. That's the bad thing. You can't expect much out of the unbeliever when a believer does it. Hello? Maybe you said, well, I was hoping for a different type of service. Well, the Lord is hoping that you make it. He's for you, not against you. He wants you to win. That's what he wants you to do. And so that's why the Lord has the service going in this direction, so we can win. So it's time that we look at the reality of really what's happening in our life. Amen? How many understand that that's important? So listen, we live in a world of distractions. Some of you will get very distracted just by the way the service is going already because it's different. Don't be distracted. Your brain's going, I wonder what... Don't, that's a distraction. Stay focused and say, you ought to be saying this, Lord, whatever's for me, I want. I want it. I need it. You might think you know what's best, but I can tell you, if it could be better, we better reach out for it. Because we got our time stamped. And we want to do what God wants us to do. We want to be what God wants us to be. And I'd much rather just do it the other way. I done told the Lord that. I was honest with God. I said, I'd much rather just go do what I do, and we all go home, we get to lunch, and once lunch is over, I come back tonight, somebody else will be preaching. That's what I'd much rather do. And you wouldn't have known the difference. You'd have been back tonight, come back the next morning, we'd have got up, done the same thing. But what good is that? What good of it if it's not real? What good of it is if we're not reaching the goal? We only got a certain amount of time, right? We got a certain amount of time to reach the goal. What if we're not going to get there? You're not going to look at me and say, you didn't say. I promise you. Not after today. You won't look at me and say, you didn't say, because I'm about to tell you. I'm going to tell you, and I want you to understand. This is the second thing I wrestled with. Lord, how can I say what I'm going to say by the authority of your word, but also do it with compassion and love? I hope that you understand and can embrace the fact that I would have much rather stay in my office. It's right up there. I could have much rather stayed there. and said, you know what, let's just... But I come down here and I'm facing the reality. I'm facing the fact that this is something that has to happen. And this is something, and you can take it however you want. Maybe some will take it right, some, I don't know. That's up to you. Or whatever the case may be, at the end of whatever it is that God releases to you, you got to make some serious decisions. And you don't have a long time. Today, tomorrow, and the third day we reach our goal. Well, I need more time. You got to take that up with God. I've just read the words of Jesus to you. It's a serious time. Jesus could have said, well, you know what? I got so much I want to do. He knew he was underneath that restriction. He knew it. That's why he didn't get in a fight and shout and cussing match with Herod. But I can keep reading to you. I could keep going and show you. What did he do after he mentioned those words? He entered the synagogue and he turned tables over. If you keep going, he entered the synagogue and he turned tables over. He said, I got to get started, and here's a good spot to start. Right here. It's a great spot. Ain't no better spot to start. So I'm gonna follow his lead. All right? And I'm gonna do what he did. I noticed something about Jesus. He was very careful to do what he did, and he was made sure that he stayed right in tune with the Father so he didn't get out of bounds in any way. Because he knew if he did, the sacrifice that he would pay wouldn't be right. It wouldn't be suitable. It wouldn't satisfy God. He wouldn't be able to cover the sins, the iniquities. How many think you need the blood of Jesus to cover your sins? Anybody here? You take the blood away and we all in trouble. We are filthy rags in the sight of God. But he covers us. Anybody think? I thank God for Jesus and what he did, how he was careful to do what he needed to do. Should he have started somewhere else? I think he started where he should have started. And so he did that. And so that's important. So listen, you can however you want to do this. You can be a complete observer, or you can say, Lord, I want what you got for me. You do whatever you want. Because I went over all these things the whole time I was praying. I went over, I said, Lord, well, it doesn't matter. It's not a time for music. It's not a time for us we live in distraction. I'm going to only warn you this. Don't be distracted. Don't be distracted, but listen careful. I even debated whether or not I would wear the mic. But the Lord said, well, you're going to read the word. I want the word to be heard clear. Because I put it on last minute. So it doesn't make a difference. I'm not interested in whether or not you can go back and rehear what I'm saying. I've said what I've said. But from the word standpoint, and it will never leave you. It's not going to leave you. I don't care what you do. You can quit on God. You can go dive headlong into all sorts of iniquity. You'll never forget what I just read to you. It'll torment you day and night, these words of Jesus, how he looked at Jerusalem and he wept over it and said, how could you miss your hour of visitation? How can you miss when the man is standing there in your town, the one that the prophet spoke of? He's standing right there and you missed it. Anybody here want to miss it? I don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss my hour. And listen, notice, you missed your hour. Now, he was there more than an hour. How many know he was there more than an hour? From the time he was born to the time he died. How many know that's more than an hour? But you notice what he says? He said, the time I was here is very short. Very short. If you only had an hour to get something done, what would you do? You would make sure it was a priority, right? You'd make sure. Why did he say an hour when he was there way more than an hour? Because he says, you missed the time of priority that I was here. You missed it. You missed your hour of visitation. And he was there way more than an hour, but he was just letting us know how important that was. Very important to understand. I mean, understand that God is good and he cares for us. So I don't know how long this is going to take. It may take a while. I'm not interested in the time. I'm not interested in it. This is more than anything that's ever happened in your life that you hear what God has to say today. Okay? How many thank God for his goodness? All right. I'm going to get my son to come. Hannah, Joe, y'all come over here. Sit right here. I'm going to start right here, and then I'll go the rest of the way. The Lord knows. This is a critical time in our life. It's serious. It's a serious time. And so I'm going to start, just talk to my wife. It's my wife. And I want to, and I'm warning you, it's time to embrace the anointing of God that's on your life. The prophecy said, you'll operate in very high levels of rhema. You'll see things in people's life like you're watching movies. And it'll be exactly what they're going through. Don't fear. Don't be afraid. And when I just want everybody to know this, they with me more than anybody. They know I have imperfections more than anybody. So I'm not speaking because I'm the guy that's got everything figured out. I'm telling you that I weep over this day and night. I'm telling you that this is serious to me. Now I can go and do anything. I can go and I can listen. I have $1 million company that I can go and just go to and just it'll be fine. But that's not what I told the Lord. I said, I don't need none of it. Absolutely none of it. Not a penny of it. If I got to lose you, then what's the point? What good would it do for a man to gain the world and lose his soul? I'm in this thing. If I wouldn't be in it, I'd have give up a long time ago. Because let me tell you, there's nothing more tiresome than dealing with people. And so I want you to understand where I'm coming from. And so you have to embrace it. This is you, nobody else. Nobody else. And there's an anointing that you have on your life. And God didn't put us together without giving you the same anointing, the same calling, the same everything. We're married. We've been married for a long time. And you're anointed to do what God called you to do. Lay aside every weight and sin which doth so easily beset you. And be filled with the Spirit and watch God. It's going to be incredible. Your better years are ahead of you. And they're going to be absolutely the joy like you've never seen. Joy, 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 joy. Bubbling joy. And you're not going to reject the anointing anymore. You're not going to reject the calling and the gift. There's a gift. There's a gift you got I don't have. I'll never reach that gift. It was not intended by the Spirit of the Lord for me to have that gift. It's your gift. I need that gift. And God knew I would need that gift. You're going to see things I won't see. You'll know things I won't know. It'll become so real to you. And you'll say, hey, this is what the Lord says. But you've held back. You've held back and you've held on to stuff. You got to let everything go. You got to let God do it. This has never been a better time than right now. You got today. You got tomorrow. And by the third day, we reach our goal. It's not a week. It's not just, listen, no matter what I say to anybody today, it's not time to go pray about it. It's not a praying session. If you want to pray, you should have been praying a week ago. Don't go praying about it. I got to pray and see if the Lord wants it. I'm telling you what the Lord's telling me to tell you. You can take it however you want. But if you think it's easy what I'm doing, it's not easy. And I'd much rather just come up here and give you whatever you want to hear. Much rather that. But I either got to go with God or go with me. And I'm not going with me. I know the road. I let me down. I'm not going to be in this thing this long. And at the end, I lose. I never signed up for the kingdom and not get there. There ain't no way. And so I want you to understand that. This is about you. It ain't about them. It's about you. And I want to tell you that I respect you and I love you and I care for you. And there was no, and somebody said, you know, maybe this is what people think. We could have done this in private. Well, yeah, I could. I could call each one of you in private. But that ain't what the Lord said. And you'd have never questioned me. If I'd have went to each person in private, you'd have never questioned me. You'd have still received. But that's not what God said. Do you understand that? I'm not here to kind of make it all nice and, well, it's all warm and fuzzy. And it's not. That's not what we're here for. We're here to fix it so we can do what God wants us to do. Very important. And so to my children, because see, I got to do it the way God said. To my children, you have anointing on your life. You're going to be in the ministry. You're going to speak to people. It's time to let go all the little things. Let it go. Joe, you ain't no accident you married into this family. But y'all got to make some good, sound decisions. Y'all have not let go of the old and grab onto your future. Your future is bright. Brighter than anything you could ever do. I don't care what jobs you get, how much money you make. The future God has for you is brighter than you can even imagine. I'm talking about bright. And that bright is what's going to bring in all those people that look and say, what are they doing? That's how it's going to happen. You can't even come up with words that's going to make it happen. It's going to be the light. Light, 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 bright, bright, bright. But you got to let go of everything. You got to say, that's it. I'm cleaned from that and take the stand. When you do that, it's incredible. Incredible what's going to happen. Absolutely incredible. And God wants to do it because there's no accident. You can't be, listen, you might have wanted to pick your own path and go down your own road, but the road God's put you on, he reached out. It's like he cast the net, and it was the last cast, but he caught. And you got caught in the net. Don't try to get yourself out the net. The net's a good spot. The scripture says he told him, cast the net. And when he put the net, there was full of fishes, 153. That's all incredible. It's so important. All those things are valuable. And so you got to start embracing your future, the gift that's in your life, to speak. I've been listening to certain things and little things. Not been a lot, but it's been little things. Wisdom. Wisdom. And you haven't given yourself that platform. But it's not coming from outside. It's in the very fibers of your being, in the DNA, that God has awarded you. Wisdom. And people are going to need it. They're going to need it. So you're going to let go of all the small stuff. The small stuff. The insignificant. It's all it is a cover. But embrace the future that God has for you. And watch. You got today, tomorrow, and the third day, you'll reach your goal. Does everybody hear what I'm saying? And watch with God. And he's going to bring to you the person that'll love you, and you'll love them. And it won't be long. It won't be long. You'll be married. And you'll walk in the anointing that God has for you. You'll do it. But we're letting go. How many know we got to let go? We got to stop it. We really do. We got to stop it. We haven't been willing to stop it. We haven't. We need to. You do it. Watch God. He's good to us. To my parents. Listen. The enemy has plotted against both of you to shorten your days. Well, you wouldn't. And you think about it. Well, I only have this many days. I only have this many years. You got way more than you think. Way more. And you let strife and anger and bitterness come in to make you feel like it doesn't really pay. I'm going to tell you, it does pay. Because there's things that God has reserved for you to see because of all the years of being faithful. Now, that don't mean those years have been perfect, but it's still been faithful. Faithful's faithful. Faithful's faithful. And he wants you to know that it's time for you to purge out all the anger and the bitterness and the strife. Purge it out of your life. Don't hold on to it at all. And you walk with heads up high and proud to know that God has kept you all these years to be faithful and to be beacons, beacons of light. So many people can see that that's it. Because he wants to do it. This is what I saw. I saw him at the gate. And it's about, he wants to just fling the gate open so wide to pour out the glory that's been stored up from the seed that's been sown. But he can't do it because you got to get rid of the whatever it is. And it could be a hurt. I don't know what it is, but you got to get rid of it. And if you don't, he can't bust the gates open. When he does, you're going to say, this is incredible. Everything that you've ever sowed, every time you ever gave, every time you ever did what God told you to do, and nobody even knows you did it. He wants to bust it open, and when he does, the first thing's going to come out is health and healing. First thing. Because you won't be able to enjoy the rest of it if you're sickly. The first thing that's going to come out is years added to your life. Years. Quit thinking dying. Think life and living and enjoying and seeing your children's children, those generations, step into the newness of God and what God has. But I'm telling you, both of you, grab hold to this word and watch God. Let me tell you, there ain't many people would do what I'm doing. Let me tell you why I'm doing it. Because I'm going to go with God. I'm going to go with God on this. And if he failed me, I've been failed. But I have not once been able to say that God's failed me. You haven't either. He's been there every time. It looked like it wasn't going to happen. It was bad. And he come through. I'm telling you, there's got to be times where you weep before God. Dad, you're going to weep before God. And you're going to let it go. You got to shout it out and you're going to cry before God. And you're going to see health and healing. And watch, he's going to bust open the gates. And when he does, you're going to see all those years. Wasn't for nothing. But the enemy, that's his trick. He wants you to believe that you can do a lot for God. And at the end, you get nothing. That's what he wants you to believe. That's not how God works. His promises that he says, he don't work that way. And this is important for us. Very important. And I want you to understand these valuable. These are principles that we can't lose these principles. We can't lose them. They're important to us. We got to embrace the things of God. And I'm telling you, this is important for all of us that we see it, that we grab hold to it, that we allow God's goodness to come. Lee, would you come? Let me get you to just sit right there for right now. But to my siblings, not my sister's not here, one of my sisters is not here. But let me tell you, we've been in this thing. That's all we know. We don't know anything else. But that don't qualify us. Do you understand that? Just because that's all we ever knew, we got brought to church. That don't qualify us. You still got to sell your own heart out. You don't like get this promotion because you've been gone a lot. And I wanted y'all to know that there's a gift. There's gifts and there's callings that are without repentance. It's like we don't get, like God's going to say, well, at least you went to church. That's what we do. But what about your talent? What about what I put on your life? What about the gift? What about that? What are you going to do with that? And I want to tell you, I remember one of the most proud moments in my life is when I seen my brother for the first time coming. You know, he was here because he loved God. That was one of the most proud times I ever had in my life. I almost couldn't even speak. And I just want to tell you, brother, you got to follow everything that God's telling you. Do it with everything that's in you and watch him. Watch him. Your future and what you have, it's incredible. And the enemy, his plan was to just snuff it out. And there's an anointing, there's a gift. And I noticed that gift. I noticed that gift. There's been times that anger would have been something that easy. He could have justified that behavior. And I would have been angry. But he wasn't. That's something that you got to embrace. And there's moments of it. Doesn't mean it's there all the time. It's just little moments you see it. And I've seen that moment. And you watch God. You watch God use you and let him bring this thing together. And watch him. Watch what he does. It's incredible. Pursue him with everything that's in you. And you're going to see. It's no longer going to be, I want to do this, I want to do that. What if I do this? It's going to be as clear as ever been to you. And you are going to step into what God's called you to do. And you won't be trying to live after what somebody else has done. You're going to do it because the anointing's on your life to do it. To my sister, you have, it was almost from very early on, been separated. Here and over there, and through difficulties and all sorts of stuff. And even so now, it's almost like a disconnect. But deep down in your heart, deep down, it was always, you never lost it. It was always that something that's there, that reverential respect and for God and who he is and what he does, and standing firm on that. But I want to tell you, God's asking you to step up. You've reached a step, and you got there, and everything's great. But he says, I want you to take a step up. And the reason he's going to get you to step up is because there's too many people's lives that have looked at your life, and they have justified their own life. But you're not going to allow that to happen. You're going to cause, by your stepping up, them to take another look, and they're going to have to say, wow, I got to do something. Because you're going to step up. It's not self-elevation. He's telling you. He's saying, step up. Step up to right here. And it won't come off as that. Nobody's going to embrace it as that. Nobody's going to see it as that. Because it's going to go forth in the power and anointing of God. You're going to see the hand of God move. And there's going to be a day, and there'll be a time where you're going to see what you really deep down desire is to have the man sit beside you without you having to be the one who says, let's go. But you'll watch in awe of a true hunger for the man to cry out to the Father and love him because of who he is. Can somebody give God praise? He's good to us. Listen to me. There's more. There's more. For anybody here, just, again, keep your mind on that. Listen to me, brother-in-law. God don't want you to fear dying. Don't worry about dying. Don't worry about that. I know that bothers you because of your father, and you loved your father. And all of a sudden, your father's gone. And now you got to think about all those things and those weights and all that. And the enemy says, you know what? I'm going to ruin Lee because I'm going to make him think about it all the time so much that it made you ill, made you sick, and you had these all this stuff going on. But let me tell you something. God also sees that there's a crying out and a real passion for him and a love for him because you want to do it right. You really, honestly, you just want to do it right. And you may get misunderstood and mistaken by that. But God don't mistake it. He don't mistake it. He don't misunderstand you. He knows. But that's not, that's almost the way it gets to be unnatural. I want to tell you, that's the anointing of the Lord. God needs people like you who preserve that right to do right. But let me tell you what he cautions you in. There's people out there that want to always brand you as the Lee of yesteryears, the Lee of the past. But you let them know, I'm not that. This is me. This is me. And you got to accept me now as me. And God's glory and his power and his anointing on your life to do the right thing is going to always be there. And you're going to get more sensitive. There's been a sensitivity that's been put in you here in the last few years of God. But you're going to get more sensitive. You're going to have more understanding, more wisdom, more knowledge. And don't fear it. Don't fear it at all. Just embrace it. And as you apply all that understanding to what you do, people are going to look at it and go, wow, wow, wow. But the one thing the Lord told me to tell you, He said, you tell Lee, don't worry about dying. Don't fear that. Don't embrace it. Don't think that's something that you got, your time is short. I know you think about the age of your father and your age and how this time comes quickly together. Don't think about it no more. Don't think about it no more. You do what's right. You keep yourself. You keep yourself the best you can and watch God. He's going to give you wisdom and encouragement and healing and health because your voice is needed. Your voice is needed. It's needed to touch people's life. And let's embrace it. Because how much time we got? We got today. We got tomorrow. And then the third day. So don't ever forget that. This is important. It's value. Herman and your family. Thank you, Lord. They can come. I'll get them on this side. Y'all can stay there. Thank you, Father. God, I thank you. What a wonder you are. God, you're so amazing. Thank you, Lord. What a wonderful God. He's good to us. God cares very much for you. He wants the absolute best for you. He's been doing his part. He's going to move. He's going to open. Just like he said. In times past, when there was a worry and a wonder about how things would be, how would they go? There's no wonder no more. Don't wonder no more. Because they'll be exactly what he'd already purposed and planned for you. It's all going to start coming together. But the caution is never, ever trust your mind. Don't trust your mind. The enemy will do a lot of things, especially Herman. Listen to me, brother. Because he knew he could play with your mind. He played with it and played with it. He almost had strings attached to it. And he would move you like a pawn. He'd put you over here and over there and over there. And that stuff bothered you. And you repented and you wept over that many times. And it still bothers you because you don't want to go out of God. And you know deep down you don't want to. You never want to. So you're always questioning. The moment you question what the Holy Spirit's saying, then you've yielded to the mind. A moment that happened. And so you yield to the moment you question whether it's God, you yield to the mind. And then you're going with your mind after that. Because now you can figure it, you've reasoned it, it works. It's okay. And you're comfortable because you've always been challenged in that area. Always. The enemy knew that. And so all the strings have been cut. There ain't no more strings. You can't control your mind. You're led by the Spirit. And you got to embrace that. And you do it with humbleness, yet with the confidence that this is God. It's not me. It says it right here, and you always check it. Check it by the Word. If the Word says it, it is what it is. And you'll embrace that. And God put y'all together for a reason. For a reason. And sometimes it's hard not to be offended. Don't be offended. Don't be hurt. Don't be hurt. Because if you embrace hurt, it'll be almost something that tags itself to you and it'll happen a lot. Don't be hurt at all. Just say, you know what, Lord? I'm following you. I'm going to do what you want me to do. Because when you embrace hurt, let me tell you what happens. It's hard to hear what God wants you to do. When he gives you plain, simple instructions, it's hard to see that as plain and simple. Then you're needing for him to do something more where it's pow, it pops. And if he works in through plain and simple, that's what he's going to do with you. He's not going to change that because we allowed something to not help us to trust him when he does it plain and simple. He's going to keep doing it that way. So you got to take the hurt and say, you know what? I'm not going to be offended. I'm not going to be hurt. Any of that. What I'm going to do is what God wants me to do. And you do that. But there's no strings. You're not bound by that. You're not bound by what was. There's not a chance. Listen to me. There's not a chance you go back on God. You understand that? Not a chance. Let me tell you why. Because your heart, you got today, you got tomorrow, and you got the third day, and your goal will be reached. You understand that? So let me tell you, God has put in your life the special gifts. And he's put them there for a reason. It's no accident you have girls. It's no accident. None whatsoever. Boys would have, let me tell you, I know sometimes we want boys, boys, boys. And you have boys. But listen, these girls for a reason. These girls, because God's using this to get your heart where it needs to be, because you have a tendency to get into the boy land. But you put away that. You put away that, because what's going to happen, you're going to see God do some incredible things. And let me tell you, both of you, yield to the things of God. Watch him. Watch him. And don't be offended by anything or anybody. You can't be offended by anything or anybody. And I pray that you, as you embrace it, you'll see it. And you'll see all these things begin to happen. It's going to be incredible. New insight, new understanding, things that nobody's doing. You don't have to look at what somebody else is doing. It'll be fresh. Be fresh ideas, fresh things to do. And God will use you. He's going to use you to touch people's lives. Use you to help their lives. Amen? Thank you, Lord. What a great God. Isn't he good? Again, I may have talked to you already, but I may say something else. I'm asking you just to keep your mind on the Lord. Don't be distracted. Don't be even distracted by what I'm saying to somebody else. I'm glad that you're listening. You need to listen. This is important. Thank you, Lord. God, you're good. Precious Lord, I thank you. What a great God we serve. Isn't he good? Josh, Nicole, and y'all's family. Wow. What a path that you come down. But you also knew the day was coming. Because there's a high, high, high demand on you. Very high. Very, very high. So high, this is the couple that would probably stand in our place. That's, and only God knows that. Just only God. Nobody's done truly what God's called them to do if they hadn't raised anybody up who could continue to do what God wants them to do. Nobody. I mean, what success? Jesus worked by the law of reciprocity. He said, how could I have succeeded if you don't succeed? My goal is for you to succeed. Sometimes the enemy lies to people and thinks, well, you know, pastor's doing good. Pastor might do good, but I didn't get anything give to me. I listened to the Lord and I followed the path the Lord has given me. And I went down that path even when it didn't make sense. It didn't make no sense. But I want to tell you, that demand on your life, you can't be afraid of it. Sometimes you're trying to figure it out in your mind. But you have been groomed and picked, not by me, but by the Spirit of the Lord, to stand in this place. And you weigh yourself down too much for others. Too much. You can't carry that. You're trying to carry for everybody else, and it's just not going to work. You way down, way, way too much. And you will burn out so fast that you won't be able to focus. You'll have no focus, no insight, no understanding, because you're going to burn out. You're going to run out of gas. You can't go that fast, that long, and cover all those bases. And a lot of it is just to please others. I'm telling you what God's telling me to tell you. What you need to do. It don't mean you have to give up friends and people you care about and love, but that list has to be a lot shorter. Because you can be friends with a lot of people, but there's priorities when it comes to God, and it demands on us. And it's not an easy place. There's loneliness in the spot that God called you to. There is loneliness, but you'll be okay, because that's where you'll look to him. And brother, your understanding in Scripture is about to surpass any seed that you've ever sown, it's going to pass it. As quick as you put the seed, a harvest is going to come up. You're going to read a verse and have an understanding in it. You're going to read a chapter and have an understanding in it. Wisdom beyond your days. Beyond that. I want you to know that from here on, you can't put into question what the purpose and plan of God is for your life. There is no more question. It is laid out. That's the purpose. That's the plan. Don't fear, but embrace it and watch God. And so you'll see this day after day. Your children will see it. They'll realize that this life is about to change. And maybe you have already painted a picture of what you think your future needs to be when it comes to you and your kids. Maybe you got this picture painted. That's not the picture. That's not the picture. You're going to ask the Lord. And he's going to say, Lord, what do you want? What do you want? And when he shows you, it's going to be a perfect scene. You won't look. You'll look at it, you say, I don't understand all this stuff. But it'll be perfect. It'll be perfect. Remember that. And so there's going to be some changes that's going to happen in your life that's needful, that's going to take place. But it doesn't mean that God wants to pull you away from all the people. Those are appointed encounters. But it does mean he wants you to evaluate it, look at it, and see, watch him. Watch him, because the demand on your life is not small. And this has not been something that just come. This has been from long before. That's why the enemy sought to destroy your very life. That's why he sought, because they knew it. Even when he was destroying you and tearing you down, ripping your character to shreds, he was ripping you to shreds. People always had still a respect for you to know that boy is something different. That's something different. You didn't. That was nothing you picked. That was God picked you. He picked you for a reason. For a reason. And so you don't fear any of it. What God has done is he showed you he could take something that went really, really, real bad, and he turned it around. If he can do it in the natural for you, what is he doing in the spirit? It's going to be mind-blowing. But you got to embrace that. But the enemy wants you to think, well, I'm slow to learn. I'm trying. You're not slow to learn. It's there. It's all there. It's just there's so many things going on. It's hard for you to embrace that. There's a lot. Your life is too busy. It's too busy to see what God's doing. And how much time you got? You got today. You got tomorrow. And by the third day, you'll reach your goal. Think about that. Why is it? I keep saying that because we're living in a very precise time of some important things. And you're going to know. From what I'm telling you, based on what I'm telling you, you're going to know that, this is what I need to do now. And you'll do it together. And you'll take the word of God and you say, Lord, that's what we want. Because in the end, as much as you think you can do for people to make them happy, to see their future bright, it's not even close to what you do when you show them the word and how real it's become to both of y'all and what God did for you. It's going to surpass any favors, any kind of extending yourself. It's going to surpass that by far. It's going to surpass that. It's going to surpass it. Amen. Brother Troy was supposed to be right after I did my siblings. Then I went to Lee. Now I'm going, let me tell you, if you don't think God's amazing, I seen the order, I seen the people, and he told me every single thing I would need to say. Not in great detail, because detail has to come because you trust God. I'm just trusting him. But he told me the key thing to start with. So if you think the order hadn't had to be changed by the Spirit, it has. It has been changed. And so we got today, tomorrow, and the third day. Just keep that in mind. Because today's, we might end this service, but we're not going to end what God has to share with folks. And I hope that I can get to everybody. I don't know. Because when the Lord says, that's it, then we'll have to wait till tomorrow. And we'll do it, whatever it needs to happen from there. And then the third day. After that, we'll rely on the Lord. Amen? Brother Chad. What a God we serve. He's so good to us. Thank you, Father. God loves us and He cares about us. He wants the best for us. And when I think about God's goodness, I think about a time like this. We could just have done the same thing, and I don't think a person would have said anything. That's what makes me realize how good God is. How good and how credible He is. How He loves us and wants the best for us. And He cares so much for us. What an amazing God He is. He wants us to be able to be not just finding out about something that has happened where we seem like we're late. We haven't. Why is it happening and not happening for me? We got to embrace His word. We got to be willing to make those changes. I want to see everybody. We got a certain amount of time. Ain't no sense in people dying or getting ill or whatever, and not be able to be what God wants you to be at this critical point in history. And it's critical. And I want to do what God wants me to do. This is a time to really, really, really take some time to evaluate what you understand about God, about yourselves. So important. God has personally reached out to you time and time again. And I know that based upon the fact that there's some insight and there's some understanding that'll come out your mouths, but are you willing to embrace that? It's easy to embrace it for somebody else, but can you embrace it for yourselves? You've made yourselves victims at the words that somebody else has victimized you. You hadn't been victimized at all. You're not a victim, according to what the Lord told me. You're not a victim, but you have victimized yourselves. Out your own mouth. Things, you speak things that show you in a poverty-stricken state. When you do that, that says God's not big enough to take care of you. In other words, it's put, you poor mouth. You can't poor mouth. That's not good. Because then you become a victim. And you did that. And it'll make a difference what anybody says here. You can't allow that. And the moment you say it, the moment you tell anybody, and plus there's been unsaved told by your own mouth. You can't win them at all. It'll only be God that'll come through for somehow, some other way. Because they go, well, if they're believers, how can that come out of their mouths? That's not good. But you've brought that upon yourselves, and you can't do that. And it's been through just private talks. And you're trying to rationalize that we're doing what God wants us to do. We're doing what God wants us to do. In reality, all you had to do was embrace the word that God gave you. And He gave it to you personally. Because He knows that you have a sensitivity side, a softness, where you'll take it. And you understand it as clear as can be. There it is. But where you lacked is application. You got to apply it. It's easier to say that somebody else needs it too. And that's could very well be true. But that's not why God gave it. He wants you to take it. Like it's just yours. It's a word directly to you. For you to embrace it. To you to see it. And then it builds you. It gets you where you need to be. And so I've wrestled with this. In prayer time, I've wrestled with it even again this morning. Because it's easier for me to not confront. I mean, you know, that's easy. Ain't nobody wants to do what I'm doing. You understand? We don't mind going and say it somewhat to somebody else. But I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to go tell anybody about you, about what I think is going on in your life. I'm going to tell you, and I could tell you in front of everybody, and whatever, you know, y'all hearing what I'm saying. Isn't it better? Much better. God didn't send you here for it to end up where the enemy plans and purposes for you to be, and that's separated. He didn't do that. He did it for a reason, for you to embrace the power and anointing of God, for God to do that. And there have been platforms, there's been opportunity, there's been all sorts of things given to you for you to step right into things. There's been no restriction. No restriction. Now you might say, and again, because if you embrace the victim mentality, it'll always say, I have less. They have more. They don't understand what I'm going through. It always separates. You never remain connected. You can be, this is what the Lord said. He said, they're right beside me. And that, let me tell you, there's nothing feels more incredible than being right beside God. He said, but I want to put them under my wings. Feels good being beside God. And especially when you're looking at a lot of people who's not even close to God. And you're right by him. But he wants to put you under his wing. How I long to cover you with my wings. But you have to embrace the hand of God to do that. Don't be the victim. Ever again. Ever again. Don't pull mouth. Don't talk about, well, I can't, you know, we're doing everything we can. I don't know why. This one's doing this. This one's doing that. And brother, you've seen a lot of people. You looked at their life and you lessened your life by doing it. They're doing this. They're doing this. I can. And then you said many times privately, I should just do my own thing. You got to do what God wants you to do. You got to be the person God wants you to be. There's been times your brain has started, but you was afraid to let your mouth say it. And then when you're not thinking, it comes out. And it can come out in the front of people who don't even know God. That's something that you're going to have to get a hold to. And the only way you'll be able to do that. And let me tell you the other thing that's happened. I always encourage study, right? I always tell people, check me out. Go study. Get you a Bible. Find it. Go check you out. But how many of you know you got to pray you're protected? Huh? And then something that you got to, not because not everything you hear is what you got to check it out. So if you're checking somebody else out, you got to also check out what you're checking out. It takes time. So when you hear it, you can't talk about it the next day because you might say something that you hadn't even checked out when you was checking out the other. And that's not good. And I listened to Brother Chad's own words. I listened to his words. I listened to everything. Everything that people say, I listen. I just listen. I watch. I listen for things to be said. And I go home and I evaluate those things. I don't come out and say it right away. And I've always asked the Lord to help me never to do that. If you say something, I go, why did you say that? I don't want to quickly, even though it, I feel it instantly. I don't want to quickly say anything because I know that's not a good thing. You got to, okay, why was it said? What was the reason? What was the motive behind it? But one of the things in your own study, you come across some things that made you have a lesser respect for me and my wife. And that is not good. Not good at all. And so I'm no different than anybody in this room. No different. And I hope that I've never come across anybody to make you feel less than I am. I'm just the person that God's called a long time ago. I answered that call. And I hope this church sees that I've been faithful to that call since he called me. 1987, at the beginning of that year he called me, and I've been faithful to that call. But you got to be careful, because you start thinking that you're no different than me. That's true. But you got to be careful how you say that and who you say it to. You got to be very careful how you say that, because if somebody else hears it, they'll take it in a different way. That is not good. And what causes you to say that is the respect level has been lessened, and that's a trick from the enemy. It won't be long. You can hear it. You can receive it with joy. You can shout, amen, I got that, but never apply it. Your application power goes away when the respect level has been lessened. It automatically goes away. You ever heard the term, I've lost my respect for you? You ever heard that term? Don't ever let that happen. Don't let that happen in any way, because it's just the enemy. And he will literally, and let me tell you what the Lord said, you'll be in the same position you were from when the first day you came in this ministry. You'll wind up there. As pretty as you might paint the picture, doesn't matter. You'll wind up right there. So don't allow the enemy in any facet, any way, to lessen what you got. There's anointing on your lives to do things for God, to be what God wants you to be. It's all there. But don't be a victim. Quit being the victim. Don't pour them out. Some of your financial issues, you got yourself there. God will help you get out. He will. But he won't do it. It's going to take a long time. You're going around the mountain. That's what I'm just telling you what the Lord tells me. You're going around a mountain year after year trying to figure out how, why. And it's easy to say somebody else. It's not somebody else. If he's going to do it for anybody, he'll do it for you. Because he's faithful. He's a true God. And so the moment you start doubting the person who God puts in your life, you're going to start doubting God next. That's just a step in the wrong direction. I'm telling you, it's absolute. The moment you doubt God, you're going to wind up in the very same position you was in the very first day you entered this property. And God knows that. And he's keeping you from that, but you can't be a victim anymore. And you need to teach, go encourage you. And you've tried. You've tried. You've tried, and you've tried, and you've tried. And you've said, Chad, 1,000 times. Listen, you're together for a reason. You're together for a reason to encourage each other. And you got to just listen. So I know you know. Sometimes it just comes out of his mouth what's on his brain, and that's not good. And let me tell you, listen, you think it's easy for me to say this? You think it's easy for him to hear it? It's not easy. But I'm telling because I love him and I care about him. And I do, listen, I would lay my life down for any one of you in here. Any one of you. Because I care about you. I care about you and your children and the future that you have. But time's running out on us. We don't have a lot of time. I'm going to try to get it right. We don't have a lot of time to get it right. It's quickly coming to an end. And we want to be strong in the Lord. And let me tell you, the blessings of the Lord, the future that God has, you're not going to ever, you're going to look back and say, wow, I remember that. That was years past. Because you're going to, it's going to be completely different. You'll have more than enough. More than enough. More. It'll be overrunning. Abundance. But you have been your worst critic and victim. And that's what it's got to stop. You're not the victim. You're not. Don't tell yourself that. And don't say people has made me feel that way. You can't keep doing that. God's word is either powerful or it's not. If you can be subjected to that, that's self-inflicted. Don't do that. Amen? What a God we serve. He's so good to us. He wants the best for us. Eddie, Kim? Thank you, Lord. If I don't get to everybody today, and the Lord knows, I'll quit when he says quit. I will get to everybody. I will talk to everybody, even the ones that's not here, because I have to say what the Lord has said. I will get to everybody. It'll take some time. We got tomorrow, so I'm going to have to call you, and we got the next day for me to get it done. We can always talk about it more. If you have any questions, listen, this is not me talking. And if you have any questions, you can come talk to me. If you want me to explain what God says, I might not be able to do that. My advice to you would be to ask the Lord. But I can be talked to. You can come talk to me. But I want you to remember that when you started out in this thing a long time ago, I mean, y'all been in this thing as long as I've been in this thing. And not just ministering. I'm talking about even before that, when we were kids. You've been in this thing a long time. So you know God is amazing. He's absolutely amazing. And as I was praying, I was thinking, you know, I was thinking about different ones. And some of the things that come through my mind as I was thinking about your father and his early passing. I was thinking about your siblings. And all this was going through my mind. And you know, I always say to the Lord, I say, God, how can I remember all this stuff? I'm going to start talking to one. I'm going to go to the next one. It's never going to come. And the Spirit of the Lord just brings it all back to you. It's like it's all starting over again. So I'm just telling you what I already went over. What I'm saying to you is I went over those things in prayer time, and here I am, and the Lord reminds me again of these things. I just wanted to say that because I'm so taken by it, how incredible God is, how good he is, and what he wants for us, what he has in store for us. And so I want you to, it's almost been like in the last 5 years, it's almost been like this roller coaster ride. There's been some high moments and some low moments. And when the low comes, it's low. And you feel deserted. You feel left out. But I'm going to tell you, God ain't leaving you out. Ever. Because he knows deep, 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 deep down inside, one thing's for certain. You're not going to quit on God. Even though sometimes you're so aggravated. And you get drained, you're tired. And that's why a lot of times illness comes, sickness. But this is what the Lord's telling me. Take this time to really embrace him and his goodness and the brightness of what he has for you. And he hadn't forgot it. He took me all the way back to a green truck. He took me that far back. You remember that? He took me back to that moment. He says, I'm going to surpass that time. That time. You got up every morning. You clean that thing. I've never seen y'all at the, that was like the top. It was something going on. It was a joy. There was so much respect. You had so many things. And all of a sudden, it was like you came over that top and you went down ever since. And God says, that's stopping. I'm going to renew that. I'm going to restore all that back. But you're going to have to get off all, everything. I don't care. And listen, it may be some other people. I don't know. It may be. But for one thing's for certain, whatever is it, you have to just release it all and say, you know what? I'm going to be a different person. We're going to be different. Because God is not nowhere near finished with what he wants to do to use you to touch the hearts and lives of people. Nowhere near. Because at that moment, that you were a go-to. People that would go to you. They would come to embrace you. They would come to ask you. They wanted to know what to do. And now you feel like, I'm not a go-to. Only if somebody needs something. Don't feel that way. Because you're special. You're more important than that. You're way more important than that. Don't let the devil tell you that. Don't let him sell you that. You're way more important than that. You're not just somebody to go to when somebody needs something. You're somebody who can talk to people and encourage people and let them know this is what God can do. But you've been broken, both of you. Your heart's been broken. Your mind has been just an all over the place. Because you reached the top. You reached like a spot. Well, wow, never thought I could. You know, you had your own thing going on. It was you. And now you feel like, why am I here? Well, God's going to change that. He's going to change that. He's going to change it. Your thinking's going to change, and you're going to realize, okay, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to take the initiative. I'm going to step out, and I'm going to see, God, I'm just going to do what you want. And it's not, listen, give. You've given and given and given and given and given, and nobody even knows how much. That's not the issue. But God's not going to just do what he's doing for you because you was a giver. He wants you to know that he loves you and he cares about you. And while you're doing the giving, the enemy's lying. And you've embraced the lie more than you've embraced the truth. Don't embrace the lie. That's a lie. Embrace the truth. He said he would do it, and he's going to do it. He's going to do it. And so what he's going to do, he's going to cause your words, your character. Brother, your character is going to change. Your demeanor is going to change. It's going to change. You never got to really see your father because of his early passing. You know, you being young when it all happened. You never got to see that. But don't let other people not see truly what was instilled in y'all's heart. You be that guy. You be him. You be that person there'll be a sweetness and a difference. And I know sometimes you say something, an opinion about something, and it makes you feel better because I'm trying to get people to see it. You won't even have to do that no more. Just be Eddie. You're special to God. You're special to him. Your life, listen, I remember when you was on a bicycle. And your health condition was as poor as I could see anybody. It was down. And I pulled on side the road and got your bike in the back of the truck. And God took you from there and he went up, straight up with you. And you got to that point and something happened right there. Somebody hurt you. Somebody did something happened. And you, listen, and you accepted that. You embraced that hurt. And it went down from there. You can't embrace that. You can't embrace the hurt. I think about Jesus all the time. He was hurt a lot. A lot he was hurt. He didn't embrace it. He accomplished the goal. You're going to have your third day, and you're going to finish your goal. That's what you got to embrace. You do that, and that's what's going to be the thing that people see. They're going to be, you'll be the go-to. They'll come and say, hey, brother, I need some help. I need you to speak, and you'll be able to do that. But don't, you're going to separate yourself from conversation that you got nothing to do with. And you're going to say, we're doing is following the Lord. And you're going to get wisdom. You're going to get insight. You're going to, life's going to change. The brightness, the fact that get up and go, your energy level. I mean, he's depleted your energy. He's just, you get tired. You're tired. You're exhausted. And that's why your health condition got the way it was. You don't embrace that. You're way too young to embrace an old age mentality. You're young. And you got a lot of things God wants you to do. Both of you. Both of you. Very important. Very unique to the kingdom of God. Very important. But you got to not listen to that. You can't embrace that. Because the moment you did, it's been down ever since. You've had little moments like that, but it ain't been nothing that was just a steady flow. And your greatest asset to the kingdom of God is to be where God wants you to be. That's your greatest asset. If you think for a moment, don't buy into the fact that he wants you down. He wants you sick. No, he doesn't. He wants to put you right where his purpose and plan is. And just embrace it. Watch him. He'll do it for you. But you can't listen to that. And you believed it. That's the thing. You believe it. When you believe it, then it's going to, you're going to be dictated by it. Your life is going to start looking exactly what you believe. Don't do that. Watch God. It's absolutely incredible. And so then when you are giving, when you're trying, because you're giving, but sometimes your giving is to make you feel like you're important. Listen, you're important. I'm telling you, you're important, whether you give or not. You're important. Sometimes giving makes you feel special. I'm going to tell you, you're special whether you do it or not. You're special. Let the giving part be something that you're doing because it's God's glory and anointing on your life. Sometimes you give what you need. You give what you could use. You got nothing. You got nothing and you're giving. Because you want to feel like God says you don't have to do that. I'll make you important because you're important. You don't have to do that to feel important. And they have no idea. The preachers that stop over and grab stuff, they have no idea what you've been going through. They have no idea the hurt, none whatsoever. They have no clue. But I'm telling you, the Lord knows. He knows. And I'm telling you what the Lord's told me today. So I know. And we can't keep doing this. Because there's no way God is going to get glory when you're always down. You get ready. You watch him. He's going to change your character, your words, how you interact is going to change. And you're going to be challenged, but you're going to learn more every day. You'll see it. Amen? What a great God. He's so good to us. I just love the Lord. I thank him for giving us the chance that he does to do what he wants us to do. Does everybody understand that this is a unique moment in our lives here at the church? A time for us to realize how incredible God is, how much he wants for us. And this is a landmark time where things are going to change. Our life's not going to be the same. It'll never be the same. Kim. Thank you, Father. What a great God. He's so good to us. I just appreciate him. I thank him for his goodness. What a time and opportunity he gives us. Thank you, Lord. How old are you? 17. When are you going to be 18? It's coming quick. It's coming quick. You'll be 18 years old. I asked you that because that's what the Lord reminded me about when I was praying, is her age in a critical time, decision time. And how you got and where you are and what God wants to protect you from. There's no doubt the Lord has had his hand on your life up to this point because in all accounts, you really shouldn't be here. You know, if you look at it and lay it all out, the stack, it was stacked against her. But she's here. There's a reason for it. The reason is the Lord. So then you have to ask yourself, okay, now, for what? For what? Is it for me to get 18 and decide to do whatever? Let me just tell you. Not all your decisions that you made here in the here lately has been right. If you go to God and ask him, you have no idea how incredible that he has handwritten your life. Its descriptive is absolutely incredible. And you're off script. You've gotten, listen to this, not everybody will get this, but you will. You've gotten things that you've wanted through manipulation. And that behavior in real life is going to bring, draw the wrong people to you. Bad people. So what I want you to do is to tell the Lord, I don't want to do that. And let me tell you why. You've embraced some of the saddest things that you've ever went through as a little girl is to have the loss to somebody that you never really got a chance to know. And you've embraced that. And so naturally what came was to be given everything at your beck and call. But that's manipulation. That's not good. And that's the one thing that God has constantly tried to help Kim with in all this process is to help you with that one thing. Because he knows what it leads to. It leads to a release of spirits that causes you to believe that in life that's what has to happen from here on. But that's not the truth. The truth is there'll be an encounter that you'll have with people who don't care about you, don't love you, who will take that same spirit and turn it against you and bring such a destruction to your life that it'll be hard for you to remember the good years. It'll be difficult. And so of all these times that you've been here and God has used you and he's groomed you and you've grown from just a young girl to where you are now, a young woman, the one thing that has been that he wants to help you with is the thing that you won't let him close to. And you have to. Especially these days ahead, you have to let him close to that. And that way you reevaluate, what am I going to do with my life? Really, what am I going to do? Let me tell you what will be effective. All your relationships will be wrong. They'll be affected by that. Because you think that you can pick, just like in life. From here on, you say, I want this, I want that, I want that. And your mom was willing to do that because you didn't get to have something that was dear to you was taken at a very early age. And so it's been a replacement. And that replacement, it'll constantly be that way. It'll constantly. And by the way, if you think that I'm not praying for this church and asking God every day, God, you got to give me insight. Everybody matters. You all matter to me. And you may have taken things that I say or do or my reactions, however you want, but you matter to me. I think about all these things. And I say, Lord, what are we going to do? What are we going to do here? This was a difficult one for me. Because anybody that may get around Kim will also want to fall into that same thing. Well, oh, we just want what's best for you. And that's the truth. But nobody wants to say. And I'm telling because I love her and I care about her. And I want the best for our future. And I see what the devil's doing. I see it. I see it. And he is manipulating this situation. He really is. And I saw it. And I've been seeing it. And I've been asking the Lord, Lord, I'm asking you to help me. Maybe you've seen it. Maybe you've been warned. I can tell you. But here's what God is saying. Look, we got to give to the position where we realize that this is what's going to help everybody. Well, we come talk to each other. Well, we speak into people's life. And I want to tell you, your future, from God's standpoint, it's been well scripted. You got to seek that. You got to seek it. Seek that. It's so well scripted. It's absolutely incredible what he wants. And he's doing that because he's giving it to you, not something that you want to get because you feel like I need to get this. And so I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask you to tell your mom You go to your mom and say, Mom, I want to tell you that I'm sorry for every time that I've had to have my way. And tell her, say, you may not understand this, but God done something for me today that's going to be change my future. And you can't even expect her to get it. Maybe she will. I don't know. I just said this what I was praying. But you tell her that I wanted to ask you to forgive me for every time you've been good to me, but I don't want to do that anymore. I just want to do what God wants. And he's going to help you. And let me tell you what's going to happen the moment you do that. All the years that you only could dream what it would be like if I had what was taken, you're going to be settled in your spirit. You'll be settled. You will. And you'll be able to embrace others that God has put in your life. Not, and they'll never replace. There's no replacement. There's no replacement for somebody that you're part of. But there's always people that God will put in your life that he'll give them the understanding to know that it's not an easy task. It's not easy at all. And so that's been your go-to. Your go-to is this make... No, then so you have that relief and it feels better, but it's only a matter of time, then there's something else. You need that, then there's something else. And in life, real life, that you're about to step into, it doesn't work like that. And the enemy knew it, and so he said, I'm going to do this. But the whole time the enemy's doing that, God said, this is my anointing, this is mine. And I want you to understand that. There's no accident that God has put this the gifting and the talent in your life. It's no accident. But life is going to change, and it's coming quick. And out in real life out there, it's been protection right here. It's all been protected, everything. But out there, it's bad. It's vicious. And you fit the bill to be gobbled up so fast that people will go, what happened to him? But this is what God said. I'm not going to let that happen if she'll just do what I'm telling her to do. I'm a protector. When she goes out, comes in, I'll protect her. I'll watch over and do everything that I need to do it. Let him be everything. Not stuff. Let him be everything. Stuff can come. That's going to be a natural. But don't demand stuff. Don't be the one that forcing thing, because let me tell you, it borderlines the spirit of Jezebel. Don't do that. Because what you'll draw to you is pansy-pantsed men. That's what you'll draw to you. Weaklings that'll do nothing but take advantage of you. Am I telling the truth or what? Let me tell you, God is good, and he wants the best for us. And I would never say anything outside of the Spirit of God telling me, ever. It doesn't matter what I think. I'm telling you this is what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. And I'm excited for your future, and it's bright. But let me tell you, only if you'll heed the things of God. But you tell your mom, let her know. Because that's the greatest light you'll ever be to her. And listen, we all admit that we've done wrong, we've done things, all of us. But this is what the Lord's telling you, and you watching. If I would be allowed to just tell you some of the script, but you ask the Lord. It's not, you haven't even stepped into not one spot of what you've ever done here or anywhere else of the script that he has for your life. That's how much anointing's on it. I know you look at people and you watch people and you say, oh, that and that. There's no idea. That's their script. Your script is yours. That's how incredible it is. I was one of the last things the Lord spoke to me before I came downstairs was the fact that it's amazing. But you got to let God do it. He'll do it. Just what he said. Amen. Brother Scott. Folks are coming in. You get on the phone. Y'all better get on the phone. We got today, tomorrow, and the third day. So I'd be on the phone. I'd be calling people. Hey, you, where you at? Get over here. So I can't even, I'm trying to remember how long this has been in the process. Been a while. This is not just something that hit me this morning. It's been a while in the process, but I can only do what God says. But if you notice what I've said so far, everything I've said has been groomed by the Word of God to this point. It's been groomed by the Word of God. I say, because I'm my whole thing was, Lord, I'll just preach the Word and people will get it. I won't have to be the guy to say it. I'm not going to say it. Everybody will get it and it'll be, there you go. Because that's the easy thing. That's the easy thing. But we got to be very careful. Very, 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 very careful. And so, I want you to understand that these times that we have, especially a time like this, they're not, let me ask you something. How many's ever seen me do this, if you've been here all these years, how many's ever seen me do what I'm doing right now? You see my point? This is not what I do. I can preach and I can do all that stuff and give you a message and it'll excite you and you go home and we're good. But I'm having to do this simply because, listen to me careful, that God says our time's up. Time is up. I couldn't do this like next Sunday. Don't look for this. We have time is up. Now remember the scripture. Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Oh, how I long to gather you. Like a hen gathers her chicks. I long for it. Think about that. Wow. So I'm praying, right? And it came to Brother Scott's turn. And he said, boy, it's even rougher than the day before. I said, God, what? He said, it's rougher than the day before. Wow. So I said to the Lord, I said, wow, that's tough. Because the day before and the day before and the day before and the day before, and that's been, how it can get rougher. He said, it's rougher. But don't you love when God stops everything with a but? And I'm sitting there saying, God, but what? He said, I'm God. And if I'm God, is there anything too hard for me? Is there anything? Is there anything too hard for me? And you think about this. Nobody knows how you know unless it's you. Nobody knows. And even if you had something similar, you still don't know. You can give me details about you. But we have no idea. But God does. You know, I always tell God this. I have no idea. I have no clue. It ain't even entering my mind. I don't even know how to pray. Because I'm not feeling this. How many know when you feel in the hurt, you pray different? You do. But he said it's harder than the day before. And I thought about that. And then I come down here and I didn't see him. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. You understand where I'm coming from? I come down here after song's about over. Everybody's wondering, where's Pastor? He's not in his routine. He didn't play. He didn't. What? Then I pop up here and I know people's, I can feel people's looking at me. Oh boy. And I look over right here and I don't see this seat occupied. And I go, God, how am I going to say, well, you just said. He said, it's harder than the day before. But you let him know, I'm God. Is there anything too hard for me? And I want to tell you, God's going to do what he's going to do. Even if it sometimes don't fit what we have accepted. Because he's God. And that won't change. His plan and his way is so beyond us. So far beyond us. But it's difficult. And God knows. He says, listen, I know. I know. I know how difficult it is. Like, I don't, but God does. He knows. God knows what it means to suffer loss. He knows what it means to have people. I'm praying. I'm on Brother Scott. And this is what he said. I know what it feels like to have somebody to run out on me. That particular moment, I was doing everything I could. Everything. Just to hold it together. Because I started feeling how many people, and people in this building, me, we did it. And I thought about God. And I thought about his right as God to be finished. Yet, he extended himself. And I thought about it and thought about it and thought about it. Here we are. Brother, he has not only the stuff that's been happening, but more stuff. Not because we talked. I didn't talk to him. And I come down and he's not here. I'm going, God, something's got to happen. You think God's good? You think he really cares? You think he knows everything? I want to tell you he does. So, don't be down on yourself. Don't be down on yourself. Just know that God's going to do what he's going to do. And whatever that is, you're going to be okay. Not just okay. You're going to be just fine. And even if you think, well, how am I going to know this or that? Or what do I do when this happens, that happens? It don't matter. It don't matter if you try to figure the answers out or not. At the time, it happens. It's going to be clear as anything's ever been clear to you. And God's going to do it for you. He will. He'll unfold it. He'll do what he said he was going to do. I want to encourage you. You stay true to what God wants you to do. The rest is just stuff and time. It's just paper. One of the things the Lord told me, just like that. Just like I'm saying, he said it's just paper. So paper, it's just paper. That's all it is. Said none of it matters, but my word is what matters. He said everything else fails. Even the heavens and the earth pass, but my word is what remains. And so go with the word on it. Trust God. And I even told God, I said, God, I asked this question. I said, what if it takes long? I'm just asking God questions. And he just kept reminding me, I'm God. It's not for me to know time when he controls that. I'm living today. You have today. You have tomorrow. And I'll accomplish my goal by the third day. So keep that in mind. And be encouraged. And you watch God. You watch him. You watch him. He knows your battles. He knows the things that's coming against you. He knows all that stuff. And he's going to be your strength. He will be it. He'll do it. And he'll unfold it. And he knows that, listen, he knows that it's discouraging. He knows that it's disheartening. He knows that it's difficult. He's had it done to him many, many, many a times. And it was done by people in this very building, including myself. Yet he extends himself to me. And I want you to do the same thing. Just extend yourself to the Lord. Watch him. Let him do it. You'll see it. It's going to be unbelievable. Unbelievable. At the end of the day, what God wants is what brings him glory. What brings him glory is what he wants. And you watch it. You watch him unfold it. So when you walked in, I was glad. I was like, okay, Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. But I would have dealt with him the next day anyway. I have today, tomorrow, and by the third day. Amen? What a great God. He's good. So far, I hope that you've seen that the Lord, at the beginning, the reason I believe the Lord had the order go the way it went, because I want everybody to know, and I want you to see that God is not being selective by any means. He's going to address what needs to be addressed from whoever that may be. But we're going to leave better. We can leave better or we can be upset. You can be upset with me. But you got to deal with God. Because I've been upset with me and people's been upset with me. I can't do anything about that. But I'm telling you what God said. You can take that however you want to take it. But I'm going to tell you. One thing's for certain, though our lives will never be the same. If you embrace it, what the Lord said, and make these adjustments, your life will never be the same. Things are going to change, completely change. And this is what the Lord desires for all of us. He really wants it for all of us. He wants us to grow in him. And how many here know that as we demand, and we got high demands for God, we really do. How many expect God to give you your next breath? How many think that's a pretty high demand on God? For my next breath, Lord, I want it. Right? Nobody wants to give up their tomorrow. We got things that we want to do. We got things that we want to accomplish. We don't want to give that up. Anybody here? Anybody here say, well, I'll just die tomorrow, I'll be all right. That's not how we're thinking. We don't want to die. But so we have high demands on the Lord. We have expectations. And let me tell you, he's faithful to all of them. He really is. He's faithful to all of them. And I hope that we can continue to embrace the things that God wants for us. And that we'll do what God wants us to do. That we'll be the people that God wants us to be. This is valuable. This is, I mean, I read the scripture to you, and I pray that you jotted them down, that you'll remember them, commit them to memory. You need to make sure that these scripture are something that you rehearse over and over, that you embrace them. This is important, very important that we understand this. It's critical to our lives. God wants the best for us. Amen? Scooby? Thank you, Father. And there'll be no service tonight. Maybe that'll No service tonight. All right? Who was scheduled? You were scheduled? Be ready for the next time. All right? We're not going to do church tonight. All right? No church tonight. Because I have tomorrow. And the third day. And I want to... So we're not going to do it. I'm going to tell you after. Before I leave. Why? Because we're going to be here a little while longer. You're going to need some rest. Amen? So, the challenge with me was, how much do I, am I cautious to not tell you what I think? Because I'm with people, and I've been pastor here for a long time. And so I get to know you. I know what's going on. I got ideas of what's happening. So I can't tell you what I think. So God has to give these little things, these little precise things within the course of me saying whatever I'm saying. So you'll understand it. So you'll get it. And I hope that you do. I hope that you can embrace this. I said, because Lord, what the one thing that I want to be very cautious in is I don't want to tell people what I think, because it doesn't matter what I think. What matters is what God is saying as he warns us. How many seen this as warnings to all of us? He's warning us. And I can't tell you. I went over it and over and over. And if you think I'm up here and I don't need to receive any warning from God, I've received those warnings and I've accepted those warnings. Often in prayer, I said, Lord, I repent before you. I'm not going to do that. I have to. And I believe that's why the Lord has had this service go this way and do what's needed to be done. And so let me just tell y'all how important it is for you not to miss the time. Now, if anybody needs to hear what I'm telling you about today, tomorrow and the third day, y'all need to listen careful. So the Scooby and Tanya first. You got all these kids. They're not kids anymore. They're growing up, except for this one. They're growing fast. You got a beautiful young daughter here as an adult. And not everything that's been embedded inside of her has been anything that's healthy for her future. And it comes from both of you. She deserves more than that. I think about her all the time when I'm praying. I think about this girl. And that's what it motivates me. It motivates me because I say, God, here's another case. And you got to ask yourself, why? Why aren't they just stripped, ripped away, and pillaged? There's got to be a reason. God, he's protecting. He's doing everything he can do to keep the mind sound. Because I can tell you, it's not been the best platform for her future. And I don't say that in any way ugly to both of them, but the enemy has sought to divide and be destructive their entire life. And these kids have witnessed it all. And these young men, I pray for them all the time. God, you don't let that happen. I know how the enemy is. Brother, you know how the enemy is. You can be going smooth as can be, and all of a sudden, bam, you get run over and your mind just goes out there, and it's like, and the devil can care less if you die, come back, he don't care. But there's people who care. They care. God cares. He cares. There's no reason for it. How can you be brought up? How can you go through all emotions and you have all of this happening? That's the enemy. It's not just listening. Listen, we got good listeners here. People listen, but what are you doing? At some point, it's got to stop. At some point, it's got to change. And we got to be the ones that decide that. I mean, they stuck with it. You've stuck with it. Been difficult, but you stuck with it. Come to church, but you hadn't had your whole life has been one big battle. And that's been the enemy. I was praying, and the Lord took me back to the photo. I can see it right now. I can see the wedding photo. Maybe it's been a long time since you looked, but I saw it. I don't have that picture. But the Lord reminded me of it. He said, it started right here. And ever since, it's been a battle. Am I telling the truth or what? Been a battle. He said, but I want to change that. I'll change it. And you need to change it so these kids will see it. Now, they know about all the other stuff. But they need to see something different. And what they haven't seen is that a true, genuine care and affection and love for each other. That's been the enemy doing it. It's either been his fault or her fault. And the whole time, hear your heart, you have all these children. And they may not be dealing with it yet, but they're going to come a time in their life they're going to have to. But this one's dealing with it. This one's dealing with it, and it's breaking her. Breaking her. And it's just the enemy. It shouldn't happen. Not to church family. Do you get my point? Why does it happen to church family? You think the enemy's out fighting the world? He don't have to fight there. He's fighting here. But we're either going to stand on the word of God or just be listeners. We're just listening. And people listen. Listen, I always tell people, I have such incredible listeners. They listen. But you got to do something. Because it's the same thing over and over that the enemy beats you with. And he's going to keep doing it over and over. And when they were young, when they were little, his age and younger, it was okay. We can get by with it. They're not young no more. These young men are growing. And they're going to deal with it. And when they do, I'm not sure that you're going to be ready to be able to handle this. And you don't want to weigh that, be the very thing that you carry the rest of your life. So it can stop. You got today. You got tomorrow. And the third day you can finish your goal. Am I not telling the truth? And it's robbed you from what you and her could have done together. It's robbed you. It's just been stripped away from you. Which you really, because the enemy saw, I can just stop it all. And it's not that you haven't been there. Y'all been there. But what God purposed and planned, what he wanted, instead of the division, that you have a harmony. And the enemy knew it. And that's what he seeks to do. He's not for you. He's not for you. But let me tell you what has to stop. You can't just be church goers. You got to have a love for God that's so much so that you won't do anything that would hurt each other because you know it displeases God. It displeases him. And there's been time and time again God has come to do everything he could to bail you out. But you have to ask yourself, how many times do we need to do this? How many times do we have to keep doing the same thing? Because you got to come together. There was a time that you came together. There was a time where you looked at each other. And it's been a long, long time since you really looked at each other that way. Where you can really say, we want to do this because we know God wants us to do this. And if he wouldn't, why in the world would you have these children? And you're going to take the risk that you've taken to sow that type of seed into their life. That would be horrifying, because the consequence will be paid. He said this, it'd be better that a millstone be tied about your neck and cast into the sea than to cause one of these little ones to stumble. You have to ask yourself, am I doing that? By what I say, how I act? And listen to me, there's been sides. There's been sides picked. And you've invited the side picking. I'm with Scooby on this one. I'm with Tanya on this one. There's been side picking. Don't sow that to these kids. They shouldn't have to choose. That's their daddy. That's their mama. There shouldn't be no side picking. I'm telling you today, God wouldn't have me bring all this up. Fun to everybody. If he wouldn't be right now ready to fix it, if you'll give it to him, you let him do it. It all starts with you as individuals. You let him do it. You can't be the person who fixes it. And you win the day. Because if you could fix it, you'd have done it a long time ago. You need God. You got to yield to the things of God. Yield to his word and let him do it. Quit fighting it. There's been a fight. There's a battle. I mean, almost a complete dislike for one another. But you manage it. You manage it. You get by. You smooth things over. You're just getting by. Is that fair? Is that fair to them? Am I telling the truth? Am I saying the truth? Does it bother you? Am I the first one to ever ask you that? There's something wrong with that. Because that's all built up. Ain't it? Yeah, it's built up. And I know a lot of you care for them. But let me tell you something. It's more than just picking a kid that you like. It's more than picking one you like. We're talking about their life. We're talking about their future, and we live in a society, in a world that says they don't need this or that. Listen, the enemy's out to destroy each one of them. He could care less. I didn't come here to pick a kid. I'm for all of you. I'm for you. Your future's bright. God has a great future for you. But what's happened here has been a trick from the enemy. And time again, the Lord has said, I want to change it. I want to change it. I want to change it. But I'm telling you, you need to make a conscious decision today. Tomorrow, and by the third, you got to consciously say, I am going to do what God wants me to do. I'm going to do my part. There needs to be a coming together, an apology to each one, and saying, you know what? We're going to live for the Lord as a family. Her years are gone. Her little girl years, they're over. They're finished. There will be somebody in her future. And what's going to gravitate? Let me tell you. Do you want her in that kind of relationship? Would you wish that upon her? Would you wish it upon your daughter? No. Yet. It was imposed. And I'm telling you this because I care about you and I love you. Y'all don't need me here. I don't need to be the pastor here. If I'm not going to get up here and tell you what the Lord said, ain't no reason for me to be here. I'm doing it because I love you and I care about you. And I love you more than I love to preach, and God knows how much I love to preach. But I love you more than that. And so I'm asking you, warning you, get together. Don't let it just be a day. These kids are hurt. We got to help undo these hurt. They're going to need support. They're going to need people to help them. But before people can reach out and help you, you got to do it for each other. For each other. And there's not an option. God's not like giving you this option that it'll be all right. Just, you know, go your separate ways. There's no option here. He said there's only one way to do this. You got to both submit to the things of God. When you do that and then submit to each other, you'll find out that the hand of God has been upon your life all this time. And it's just been a trick from the enemy. You've been tricked. Years have went by. Years. And I watch these kids. Man, they're growing. I go, wow. You know, you're just so shocked by the fact they're growing so fast. And before you know it, they're gone. Then what? Did you send them out prepared for what they're going to face? You still got a chance. God's giving you an opportunity. Scooby, you're going to have to let go of all that. There ain't no buddies. You ain't got a buddy. Let me tell you, you might think you got a buddy. Ain't nobody cares about you or how your family's going. And I know sometimes it makes you feel good that you got to hold this kind of this macho guy type mentality to make you guys feel like, you know, you're somebody to God, whether you do that or not. You've been special to him for a long time. For a long time. There's no accident. And he wouldn't give you all these beautiful children for you to just wind up in this position. He did it because he cares about you and he loves you. And you're going to do it. You're going to do good. And you need to know that God's for you, not against you. Tanya, you got to know that God wants you. You got to let go of whatever it is. Whatever it is. The hurt. Whatever it is. You got to let it go. That's your husband. You said, I do. He said, I do. You got to let it go. And you got to say, you know what? We're going to work through this. We're going to do it. Because no matter what's said or discussed, both of you know that what God wants to do with this family, he wants to do it right now. Let me ask you, can God fix it? Can he fix it? I believe he can. Listen, we'd have went on if God would have said, go on. I'd have went on. Because I haven't spoke to a person yet that God didn't tell me, this is what you say. Not one. And I promise you, I'd get to everybody. I was going down this list in my mind as I was praying of people here and trying to say, Lord, you know, what do I, you know, you can't think of this much stuff. You just can't. But you got to let God. And I want to tell you, you watch God do it. Kids, you come to God, demand it. You're old enough. You're old enough to demand that we do better. Don't just accept that this is the norm. It's not. It's been a trick from the enemy. He's tried to hurt you in every way he could. He tried to crush you. It's not what you painted for your future. You didn't paint it that way. He's tried to crush you, to just rob it away from you. And God wants to give it all back. Absolutely incredible. But you got to let him. Watch him do it. Watch him unfold it for you as you both come together and realize this. This is incredible. I mean, oh, God wants the best for us. He does. He wants the absolute best. He does these things because he cares about us. He cares about our future. He knows our future. He knows it. You don't think he doesn't know it? He knows everything about us. And our future's bright. The enemy's the one that comes and distracts and destroys. Causes people's lives to go down paths that you wouldn't believe. You go, wow, I never saw that coming. But how many times God put the warning sign out there for us? Don't. But we kept going. And today he's doing it in a big way. Big. A big way he's doing it. And that's why he's giving us this opportunity. He's extending this time to us. There's nothing. I don't care what we had planned. What could be more important than hearing from the Lord? What can be more important? You know that sometimes we're so attached to our calendar. We are. That we have time for God, but it's right here on this day. And sometimes God doesn't pick that day. Sometimes he just does this. He does it. I asked the Lord this morning, I said, God, whatever you say, whatever you want, that's what I want. But I can't do it without you. Can't be done. Only you can do it. and it's up to God. And that's what I left it. I left it up to God. I left it up to God that He would do it the way He wants to do it. That God would speak the words that needed to be spoken in the ears of the people that'll listen. And not only, listen, because someone is not being addressed directly, I hope that you heard the words that were spoken to every person in here. That you hear these clearly and how much we have failed one another when it comes to being standing by, watching this stuff, thinking something needs to be done, but never coming to the position where we actually step out and say, you know what, Lord, this is what I need to do. And we start with us. We start, because if I can see that it's somebody else, clearly God had to be showing me. I know that's how He does with me. If I can see something that somebody else is struggling with, I have to clearly have to see what I am. Clearly. But sometimes it's so much easier to point it out somewhere else. So much. That's not what God desires for us. So the scripture said that tell Herod that I'm going to do cures. Use the word cures. Demons are cast out and cures today. Not going anywhere. Tomorrow. And by the third day, my goal will be finished. I hope that you see the seriousness of the gold and what God has as a gold. There's a time frame that's set. And that time frame is not going anywhere. It's set by God. And we have to make sure that we're lined up with that time frame. If not, we'll miss it. And we'll miss it in a big way. We don't want that to happen. That can't never happen. When it does, it changes everything about us. Everything. Then we're thinking what to do instead of knowing what to do. We're reaching out, grabbing and grasping, and it seems like it's just too sharp. We can't quite get our hand on it. And that's how life becomes. And then the moment that happens, we get dissatisfied with how life is. And guess what then happens? Somehow, some way. It's hard for me to blame God first. So the next people in line is God's people. It's so much easier. It's got to be somebody else. And it's the very people you go to church with, you worship with, could be the reason. And it won't be long. Once you do that, God will be next. And He's trying to save us from that. Because the moment you have an issue with God, I'll never forget, I had a man riding in my vehicle one time, and we were talking, and we were passing Fort Jackson, going south, and I asked him, he was crying, I said, so what's the biggest issue that you're dealing with? What's wrong? What's going on? Why you feel the way you feel? He said, I'm mad at God. I went, whoa. I slowed down even. I said, you're mad at God? He said, yes. I'm mad. I'm angry with God. I said, what did He do you? He obviously did you something that you feel that way toward Him. And he began to tell me what he believes God did. God did this and God did that and God did this and God did that. So I asked him a simple question. I said, so have you done anything? And then the next question was, are you as mad at yourself as you are at God? Got quiet in my truck. Got real quiet. Because for the first time he realized, I'm mad at God, but I ain't near as mad at me for doing what I'm accusing God of doing. Yet I've been doing it. And so we have to be careful that we don't let it go that far. Because the moment it does, it changes everything about us. Anybody tired? Anybody ready to go? Think about it. The more you want to receive from the Lord, the more the Lord is willing to give. When you're ready, the Lord will be finished. So who's tired and ready to go? I know this is different, but this is the day the Lord's made. We should be rejoicing and being glad in it. Amen? How many willing to give God all the time He needs? How many are willing to say to the Lord, Lord, I know one thing. You know what's best for me, and that's what I want. That's what I want. I want what's best for him. Amen, Sabrina? I could use either side. What's closer? Bring whoever's here. Rich, Eli, come on. Thank you, Father. Praise God. Absolutely. My God is good, isn't he? So I'm praying, and it got to y'all, and I went, wow, Lord. You know, I wish I could just sit down and try to explain it sometimes, how it is. It's almost like all of a sudden there's this burst. It doesn't take long. It's just this burst of information. And your mind's trying to, you know, just capture it all. This burst of information on wow. And you're trying to make sure that in your mind, you don't try to rethink it. Because then it's not God. And so I always do, you know, I'm careful to not do that. Yet, there's been a lot said here today, right? A lot of stuff has been said. And so I have to go back to those moments. And as I said to the Lord, I said, I just want to be led by you. Whatever you say, that's what I'll say. Whenever you're done, we'll be done. But when I got to thinking about your family and what's going on and, you know, what God is saying, what is he expecting, what does he want, what is this, you know, telling us, what is he warning us about, and I thought about how that in your heart there's been a desire. There's a desire, and that desire was to just have wholeness. I said, the Lord says, just to be whole, to have wholeness. And I said to the Lord, I said, God, what do you want? What would you want for them? And he said, my desire for wholeness is not the same as your desire for wholeness. And I said, God, what does that mean? What are you saying that it's not the same? Because wholeness to God is when he brings it all together, he does it with this intent, is that many, many people will be touched. Don't desire wholeness just for you and your family immediately. Just remember this, many people, and I've seen this in the spirit, the extended family. There's an extension past you and your family that God wants to touch. And he wants to do some incredible things. But his demand upon your life, to you, sometimes almost been overbearing. It's been overwhelming. That to the point that sometimes you may even ask, why me? Why can't it just be somebody else who can come do it? God says that his blessing, his opening the door is on the other side of yes. So when you said yes to the Lord, if you'd have known the difficulty and the hardship that it takes once you say yes, you might have not even thought about it a second time. But you said yes because you knew personally you needed something different for your life. You knew it, but you want something different for other people's life so bad you want it, and it just can't come quick enough. This is what the Lord is saying. Quit wanting it that bad. Just focus on you. Focus on you and you pray and let him do it. Let him do it. I said the other day in service, ask. And what does he mean when he says that? Keep on asking. Seek. What does he mean? Keep on seeking. Knock. What does he mean? Keep on knocking. And what will happen? It'll all be done because you keep being persistent. And I said, Lord, what do I need to tell? So he said, tell her to be persistent, but you work on you. you. You let God bring a complete healing and wholeness to your heart. To your heart. Because in your mind, you say it's all going to get better when we all get together. God's going to bring it better before you all get together. And together is just going to be an added bonus to what he's going to really do in your life. Because everybody's going to have to come to their own decision. And they'll do that by your consistency and doing what God wants you to do. And the same thing as I said to Scooby and Tiny, the kids are growing fast. Growing up, they were little, and it was so much easier when they were little because they, you know, they could be, it could, you can hide stuff, they can be protected. But when they're older, their brain works differently and they see things differently. But I want to tell you, it's not been for nothing. It's not been for nothing. And then, even though you get one slap out from going and trying to get it done, let me tell you something, you're not going to be able to do it. He's not asking you. I know you took that weight, that it's me. I got to do it. Don't do that. You do you. And you go to God. Cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. This has been way too much. So you just add it up. You can add it up. It's too much. That's because you've taken that. What you need to do is watch God. But you work on you. And you get faithful to God more than you've ever been. And if people want to know what you're doing, say, I'm drawing closer to God. And your kids will see that. And you draw close to him. Draw close to him. Do what God wants you to do. Listen, there was a point. There was a point. And I was going over this. At one time, this was the most difficult. In God, there's a space that God gave. Just the space that he gave. And the enemy is doing everything he can to pull that space out. That's what he's trying to do. But God did that. That was the hand of God. All of a sudden, wow, the hand of God. And it was not because he's grown and matured a little bit. And he's not. It was because of the hand of God. And if God can do that, then he can do it all. But you got to, don't carry that weight. Cast it on him, for he cares. He says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And this is important, very important. Let me tell you, there's nothing really that can be said for your whole family to be serving God. They'd already know. They know that there's a God up in heaven who is real, is real gifts. And they love, but it all has to happen right here in their heart. It has to be born in them. And that way it is you pray. Say, Lord, I thank you that the eyes of their understanding will be enlightened. They'll know what is the hope of their calling. You're going to pray that over and over and over and over and over and over. And you're going to keep doing it. Asking, asking, asking. Keep doing it, keep doing it, keep. The whole time you're doing that, you're getting closer to the Lord. And he's doing what he does. He's softening the hearts. No man can come to him except he draw him. And if you ever want to do, be a man, a real man. A real man serves God. A real man makes commitments to the Lord. And at a young age, talented, you can do things. It's so easy to be drawn away and think that I'm going to just go do this. It never happens. It's always a dead end. Because you start with God, you got to carry God all the way through. The moment you put him off and you go down a path, it's like walking in the dark with no light. You run into something. Don't do that. I'm telling you that. Really, your father should be telling you that. And I don't like to speak about people that's not here, but I know him. And I have a lot of respect for him. And I do know one thing. He's been running from God for a long time. But that's there's still no excuse on what we do. You understand? That you can't use that. Don't ever say that it would be better if they. That limits God. That puts a limit on God. You let God be God. Let him be everything. And that's just going to be an added bonus when they come in. So get ready for the bonus. But let God be everything right now. And you watch him. And as I was praying, going over that, that's the very thing the Lord began to address when I started to see your family. I said, God, wow, you're so amazing. There's no reason for you to be weighted that heavy. Service after service after service, God only knows how weighted you've been. That doesn't have to happen. The joy of the Lord is your strength, and that joy is going to be something that cannot be denied by other people. They're going to see it. Wow, what's going on? It's a bit different. Something happened. What is it? And you kind of keep that. You got to keep that. Keep that. Keep that going. Keep it going. And watch God. Watch Him do what He's going to do. Because He cares about everything. Even the stuff that you wouldn't think, He cares. He cares about it all. And He wants the best for us. Amen? Ryan, Nicole, hallelujah. Thank You, Father. What a wonder You are. I was spoke to a lot of people, and since we started, I don't know what time we started, but we started a while back. It wasn't. I think it was right after. Well, I read, and then I spoke to almost everybody in here. So far, I'm almost going to get to everybody, and. I started with Charlotte first, and, you know, I warned her about what she needs to do, but she did something. She did something, and she come to me and told me. She didn't tell me she was going to do what she did, but she told me she went and talked to y'all, right? And she just told me that, like, I don't know, yesterday, the day before yesterday. I didn't ask her anything. I didn't ask her when she went. It did, you know, but my whole point in telling them and you that are here is my point that I said to Charlotte at the beginning is that's her anointing. That's her gift. God said that she'll see visions like watching movies. And let me tell you, that if anybody in this room lessens that anointing in her life in any way, shame on you. You're in trouble. You're in deep trouble. Because that you got to embrace that. That is key. Let me tell you, what's about to happen here is going to be absolutely amazing. Well, anyway, she went and done that. And I, you know, she didn't tell me. I didn't tell her. She just said, look, I went and talked to him. She said, and she come to me. She said, this is what I talked to him about. And what do you think? And I said, really, Doug, you know, I don't have an opinion about it. I have no opinion. You had to do what God asked you to do. And I was glad she did that. And that was important that she did it, wasn't it? Wasn't important. It was very important. Valuable. But here we are, and I'm going through different people. People's really, there's, I don't know of any of us that's not struggling with something, right? We all struggle. We get to the spots in these struggles, these difficulties. And the whole time we're thinking about that, you wonder about the Lord. He's doing everything He can to protect, but you also have to think the enemy's doing everything possible to set people back. And setbacks are difficult. How many's ever had a setback? Well, you was doing something, everything was going good, then you had a setback, and you go, wow, now I got to try to recoup and recover and try to get back on track. And it's very difficult. Very difficult. Some people don't make it out of their setbacks. They look at it and they rationalize everything and they're trying to deduce and deduct and trying to get everything clear in their head and they just can't make it out. And how many know that's what the enemy tries to do? Constantly tries to do it. So I'm praying. And I'm saying, okay, Lord, when I get to, you know, these are just people's faces and I'm not necessarily praying in the exact order as I'm taking people and talking to them today, but I'm going through everybody. Everybody that the Lord brings to my mind, He brings them there. There's people that I went through that I hadn't seen in a long time. That means they haven't been to church in months, maybe a year. But I still, the Lord brought them to my attention to pray. And so, to tell me something. And so when I got to Nicole and Ryan, when I got to them and I was going over this, naturally, as I was going through the process, the Lord reminded me about what Charlotte done. And she went and talked to him about a situation and a difficulty. How many know the enemy will do anything, anything that he can to distract? And his goal is to bring destruction to the next generation. And then the next generation. And then the next one. So the children suffer for what we're going to do today. How many understand that? That's a fact. They will suffer. And so I was going over it, and the Lord just speaking all this stuff to me. And then all of a sudden, the Lord showed me what will be. I went, wow. I just sat there, and I thought about what will be. And I went down this, I went in the scene, and this scene was in the old building. And he takes me in this scene, and there I am. I'm standing in the old building, and I see this olive complexion little girl with black hair kneeling. And he said, you remember what I told you that day? And I went, God, you got to be kidding me. He asked me that question. You remember what I told you that day? That day. But Lord, she's only this high. Help me, Lord. And I said to you that day, this girl has a sensitivity to my spirit. I told you that day. And he said, just tell her because she'll remember. She'll remember. And he said, from that point on, the enemy has sought to distract and destroy and to kill off that. From that moment. That was a long time ago. But I remembered it once he brought me to that scene. And there I was. I was standing there. And I was standing just like that looking. I didn't see anybody else. But I saw that sensitivity to the Spirit of God. Things of God. And he said, I'm going to renew and restore and put all that back into perspective. And it won't be long. Won't be long. And of course, I'm reading my verse, right? Today, tomorrow, in the third day, you'll accomplish your goal. So I'm going to do all of that. But see, here's the enemy. If the enemy can make you feel in any way that the person that God wants to use to speak into your life somehow doesn't care about you, it's going to be difficult for you to hear what they say. And that's exactly what the enemy tries to do. He tries to do that. Here's where we got to be strong. And listen to me. And I'm going to tell Ron in a little bit the disaster that was avoided. Total disaster. Total disaster was avoided because their willingness to say, you know what? We're going to rethink this. We're going to regroup. I saw this in the spirit. I'll come back to it. But this is unlikely is not even probably a strong enough word that they should be together. That's the bottom line. Unlikely. Okay? But God has reasons. Now, once God's reasons get enacted, meaning they go into motion, the enemy then turns out an all assault to do everything he can. And this is what I've seen about Ryan. If he continues down this path of thinking that he will forever be separated from that which was produced from his own loins, That's a serious warning. And I know he would never want that. Ever. But that's what the enemy had planned. But God has thwarted the plan of the enemy. How many of you know that the snare of the fowler, if we listen to God, it might be set trap, but it'll never come to us. Never will it come to us. But that was the enemy, what his plans was. And when the Lord showed me, I was like, wow, that's how much the enemy despises God's people, so much so that his plan is to forever separate you from the very thing that comes from your own loins. Forever. That's horrible to think that would ever happen. That was the enemy's plan. But how many know God has a plan? God has a plan. Sometimes one of the most difficult things the Ryans ever had, and I'm just praying, one of the most difficult things is taking to task something that's been in front of him without bailing on it and accepting a lifestyle that's lesser than God's purpose for him. You know what God says? But through this, I'm going to build his character that'll never happen again. Never. I mean, that's incredible when God says never. It won't happen because I'm going to build his character. And for the first time, he'll realize, I can do this. I can do this. And he'll realize why. Because he's been empowered. Now, there's no accident, even though it's most, unlikely, but no accident that the both of them are together, because you're taking what he struggles with and what God said for Nicole's life. And let me tell you, you talk about a runaway from the call of God. There's been a all-out dash, a mad dash, opposite away from that sensitivity, but it never left. It's because he planted it there. He sowed that there. And it'll be closely in the near future where it all starts to make sense to you that everything's going to come together. Everything. And when it does, you'll look back and what appeared to be the very thing that you struggle with most is going to seem so small. So small. Easily tripped up before, won't even meet the scale of the strength and authority and power that God will give you as overcomers. Overcomers. And that's what the Lord will do. So don't think it's strange that everything went the way it went. Don't think it's strange that the mind does what it does and it tells the heart what it tells it. But thank God that somebody like Pastor Charlotte came and said, hey, it doesn't have to be like this. That was the hand of God. And let me tell you, you settle that issue and you move forward. And Nicole, I'm telling you, you dig as deep as you ever dug. You dig. I saw this as I'm praying. The Lord began to show me that the talent, there's talent. I mean, you're able to do things and think of things that I don't think about. You understand? And there's stuff, and you're able to put it. It's called art. It's art, right? And he said, that is nothing when she unlooses that sensitivity to the Spirit that I put. When I saw the scene, I'm sitting there. Nothing, he said, that's nothing compared to when I loose that. That sensitivity to the Spirit. So you got to get ready to embrace that. And you got to make the one final push, as difficult as it may seem. You push. And you do it with everything that's in you. And you give God the glory through the whole thing. Give him the glory through the whole thing. Through the whole thing, give him glory. Watch and see what he does. It will be absolutely incredible.
absolutely incredible. How many thank God for his goodness? It's amazing. He's amazing. He cares for us. He loves us. Wow. What a wonder you are. God, you're so good. So I started right here. Then I went to my kids and I dressed Joe and together with them, and I talked to my sister and my brother, my mom and dad, and then my sister and my brother. And then I asked Lee to come up, and then I made a shift, as it were. But that was Brother Troy and Sister Elaine was going to go immediately after my sister and brother, because there's something, there's a reason for it. And I'd asked the Lord, I'd asked him why. You know, what's the point in the process? I went through it all with him. I said, God, why this way? Yet, when I went, looked for Brother Troy, he was not here. And then I mentioned that, you know, there were several people that I was going to give a word to that wouldn't be here. But it would come. It would come whenever. I got all day. Remember, I got today, tomorrow, and the third day to accomplish my goal. Is that not powerful? Could there have been a different scripture? Let me tell you about ordained by God, right? And that one verse of scripture popped up at the process of me praying, because I'd asked the Lord. And I can't even describe my emotion at the time. I can't. Everything is like my whole head just cleared up and was done. So I want to talk to Brother Troy and Sister Elaine, because we're getting close. I'm going to do them. I cannot do some others here without doing them. That makes sense? And then we'll go from there. And I hope everybody understands it. Did you not sense what I was saying when I told Nicole that? You see? There's a reason. There's a reason. And you're going to see y'all attachment there. There's no accident. You ain't been friends for that long. There's a reason. There's a kingdom principle there. That's a kingdom thing. This is not stuff where we just pick and choose. You have no idea how God has worked out every detail in your life to get to you connected with people. He's trying everything he can, but we want to pick. We like to go where we saw, you know, we like the three bears in the wood, you know, to go and we're looking for the bread that's not too, what is that, the three bears? That's been a long time. Is it too soft, too hard, or whatever? We pick and choose. You don't realize that. What about God's appointed time? What about his ordaining you and putting you where you should be at the time he needs you to be there? And this is critical for our church. Listen, this is it. This is a make or break. I hope you understand. This is a make or break church service right here. We either going forward in victory or we're done. Ain't no sense in beating around the bush. God ain't looking for people who just go through the motions. He wants people who will really be strong in the Lord. And this is it. So this is God, the word of the Lord. So this, you can take this however you want it. But this is the word of the Lord. And I don't know what you want to call it. But you, you know, you may call it, you know, pastors finally getting to do business. Whatever. Business. I don't know what you want to call it. I only know the Lord said today is the day. He said, you tell that fox, right? Tell the fox, I'll cast out demons, do cures. Do you remember that scripture? How many is that? It's hard to, you know, you look at, you read that, and you go over it, but boy, all of a sudden, the day that it just stops you in motion, you go, what did he just say? The words of Jesus are incredible. And so, I had Brother Troy and Sister Elaine, like, right after Jacob and Connie. They'd have been next. But, of course, my brother-in-law come up, and then I moved on to Brother Josh and Nicole and so forth. So I think I remember it right. But, anyway, there was a reason for that. And if I wouldn't have got to talk to him today, I would explain that to him, that order. So that's why I'm doing it now. Sister Elaine's been here, so she knows. But I got to explain that order because everything is very important how it came out. Very important. That's why I didn't call Alex yet, because I'm going to call him next. You see? Because I couldn't. Because I have to first tell them, then I'm going to talk to him. And when I got to him, it was very important what the Lord said. Very important. And then and everybody else in here, and I'm going to get to you. I promise you. You're not going to be left out. Because I got today, tomorrow, and the third day, I got all that time to get to you. So anyway, I won't be able to cover everything, but it was important. It was important that both of them heard everything I said up to me calling them. Sister Elaine didn't heard it. Wouldn't it be important that both of you hear? So I can't go back and rehearse it all. I can kind of hit high points of what I said, but I'm going to leave that up to you. The weight is on you to tell Brother Troy. But let me just tell you what the Lord said. From before this calling, when I say that, I mean this calling, this church, the calling of this church to come out and be in existence. From before that, the Lord put a special anointing on your life. Before that, this didn't get that from here. This didn't exist because this church existed. That's before. Long time before, matter of fact. There's been a gift. Not just a calling, but also a gift. Brother Troy has a gift. And it's one of the gifts of the Spirit. Very important gift. Okay? And that's been before. So don't want anybody to associate that gift that he got somehow. He kind of got it here because he quickly started coming here very early on and went right into doing what we, in all accounts, we was not going to question God, right? Went right into it. Well, I mean, right in. He, by his own testimony, he said that. And when I'm going over this, the Lord's reminding me of all this stuff. Stuff that he said, stuff that people said. And I'm reminded of all this. So that gift was not directly associated with the start of Faith Temple. It was there already. I mean, it was there in a big way, a strong way, powerful way. And this is, you've heard this from him. He's told this story and shared it in different occasions. And so I'm asking the Lord, because, you know, again, we're fixing this. Anyway, that's God's attempt. Can anybody got that? Yeah, that's his attempt to get everything out. And then we'll move on. There'll be no excuses after the day. We're either going to get better, bitter, or whatever. But one thing's for certain, God did his part. And he did it in a way that is undeniable. According to the word. And so, I'm going over this and I said, well, Lord, why is this the order? Why is the order like this? And I'm just asking him because I said, Lord, I'm only asking you. Because I don't want it to be me. I don't want my mind involved. I want it to be you and you alone. That's what I want. Let it be you. It's undeniably you doing it. And so I've been going over this for. And here's what the Lord said. There's no doubt that's an anointing. He said, I give him the anointing. It's my anointing. My hands upon his life. There's no doubt my hands upon his life. God has put that there for a reason. There's still times and there's seasons to yet to come that I need that anointing. I need to use that anointing. I need it to, you know, it's going to come from Brother Troy. It's going to be out of his own mouth. He's going to receive it from the Lord. All this stuff. And I said, okay, Lord. And I'm going through this with the Lord. And I said, now what? And the Lord says, but there's some things. There's some things. And I want to address those things. And then if he thinks that he's had an anointing on his life up to this point, he hasn't seen anything. Because it's going to almost be a congealing together of the power of the Spirit like he'd never seen before. So there's not a removal nor a replacement, but a congealing, an adding to, an addition to. what's already been placed on his life. And I said to the Lord, I said, okay, Lord, just like everybody else. When I went and got to you what we need to do, I did the same thing. And so I did the same thing with Brother Troy and Sister Elaine. And here's the thing that God wants you to hear and understand, that you can, in days ahead, and how many time, much time you have? You got today. You got tomorrow, and you got the third day to accomplish your goal. I hope everybody's clear with that. I've said that enough. I hope everybody understands that. It's not something you go praying about. The Lord's letting you know this is what we got to do, and we're going to get it done, and we're going to get it done quick. And we're going to step out in by faith, and they're going to be different people come the next service. That's the expectation. Not from me, from God. He's expecting it from all of us, that we're different. And the thing that is that isn't it amazing? This is the Spirit of the Lord said, isn't it amazing how I anointed you with words to encourage people? Isn't it amazing that I gave you things in the daytime and the nighttime, and you remembered them clearly? Isn't it amazing that you have also traveled afar to give those words that I given to you, and you did that without hesitation? Isn't it amazing that you was willing to trust that I was the speaker and you was the mouthpiece to speak those words? Isn't it amazing? I'm hearing all this from the Lord. And he said, it's the very thing that I've gifted him with is the very thing that hinders him the most. Your rapport with people has to change. With people in the community, people you know, it has to change. You have to take a position where you take the gift that God has given you, and you look at it and you analyze it and you say, can I? This is what the Lord told me to tell you. He said, can I be the one who causes the very word God says to not be taken seriously by what I do? Think about that. And the Lord wants you to take some time to really think about what you say at every moment of your life. Every moment. Because you, the anointing is not something that comes and goes. It's there. You may not, here's what the Lord said. He said he may not have words directly for anybody, but he always has my word. And has been, what people have seen is not the ones that God wants to send you to speak into their life. They won't take you serious. They won't. You'll say God said, and they won't be able to get past the fact that it's you. And that's been a detriment. You've been a detriment to your own self by saying those things. And you, and people don't realize that many times you say stuff in a joking way, but God's saying it's no joke. Because people, the enemy will use it. He will use it to make people not receive when you really tell them this is what the Lord said. And it's in fact what the Lord said. But it undermines the anointing and the gift God gives you. And the enemy's always used that. The one thing that he's used against you all these years is that one thing. It's to give you a lesser rapport with the people so they don't take what you say as serious as they should, when in fact it is from God. They won't take it, including your children. They respect you and the position you've taken, but they don't take you serious. And it's going to go to your grandkids and every other generation. The same thing will happen because they don't take it serious, and even though it is directly from God. So you have to work that character. You have to say, Lord, I want you to help me with this part right here. Because I never, ever want to be what stands in the way. Because there's no doubt there's a gift. that I don't want it to be the thing that affects what you have, the truth that's coming out. And it's truth. It's real stuff. I don't want that to be it. So I'm telling you what the Lord is saying, both of you, and you need to work together at this. And even though your wife's told you before, you shouldn't say that. And it's in a joke, though. It's in, sometimes she's serious, but it's the way it's discussed after that is like it's no importance. It's very important. It's very important because what God wants to do in the near future, in the words that he's going to give you, they're going to have so much power and so much anointing and where it destroys yoke, removes burden. That type of power is going to be on it that you don't want to be having a rapport with people that lessens the very things that God declares. And you, and listen, God wouldn't even ask if it couldn't be fixed. But it can be fixed. It can be fixed. It's just going to take some time. It's going to take some effort on our part. But it's going to be where you say, you know what? I'm consciously going to make sure that I'm not going to do that. And you'll do it. And it's going to take some time. But you will do it. But you consciously got to take the effort to say, you know what? I'm not going to do that. And even if you think it's a joke, to God, he said it's no joke. Because what he's about to release, it's going to have to be on a serious, serious, serious plane. And it'll be to the point where you're going to feel where you can't even get mixed in anymore. But if he sends you somewhere, he's going to send you right at the time you need to be there. And you leave right after you're done because he don't want anybody to take it less that you the one who just told me to do this, yet you joked with me to date the next day. He's going to say, I'm going to take you out of that because I want them to realize if they don't do what you just said, it can cost them their very life. That's how serious it is. So the Lord is saying it's time to work on that. You have to take that position. You have to take some time. And this is what I, and then the Lord, now these people, again, I take very cautious to not talk about people that I can't actually look at today. But the Lord did bring to my mind Christopher. The moment he was telling me this, he brought to my mind and he said, that'll be fixed right there. Boom, just like that. And I said, well, why, Lord? He said, because I put a gift in his life. That's why it's been like it is. Just like, I said, Lord, he said, just like that, it'll clear it up. It's going to be gone. And so that's just the beginning. So start there and it'll trickle down to everybody else. It'll start right there. And I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, this is your word. This is what you declared. He said, I'm telling you, if we get this, and just like I said to everybody, if we'll start right now and we consciously say, I'm going to do this and I'm going to build, your rapport is going to be built. You cannot have people say about you. You might not take it personal, but God does. You understand? Your anointing, your calling, everything's from God. He does. And so you may be able to handle it. You might, but God's saying that can't happen. That can't happen. So you got to do whatever it is you have to do. Go to God, pray, get God's anointing on your life in that area, and you make sure that you take the steps necessary because what's about to happen is not, It ain't even coming close to what you've seen before of what the release of the, I mean, unhindered word of God. It'll just be spoken and people's going to go, whoa, that's what the Lord said. They ain't going to say, well, yeah, Troy, there's Troy again. But nobody's, the only one to that detriment has been you. Does everybody hear what I'm saying? That's the only one. But let me tell you, you think God cares? You better believe he does, because you know what? We could just, like I said, we could just kept it like it is. I'll do what I do. They'll come up, and they'll be great. Everybody, but are we tired of that? Are we not? Who wants a real breakthrough? Who wants to see your community change? How many want to see your family, everybody healed and whole? How many wants to really see that? How many wants to step into what God has for your future? That'll happen. It'll happen. And so, the Lord has kept from you certain things that you can say. It's been in reserve. And he will give those things to say. And when you say them, there'll be nobody can say, well, Troy, there'll nobody say that. They're going to say the anointing of the Lord. And it's there. Lots of reserve. Lots of it. is there. And not, I'm not talking about just on this peninsula. I'm talking about a lot of places. Lots. But he's going to bring you in and bring you out. For a while. I don't know how long that season is going to be, but it'll be. And when you go, it's going to be to do it and move. Because the Lord knows that people will use it. Before, all they got to do is reduce you down to just jokes. And what you said the day before is real. Yeah, it was good. Looks good. It was good. And that's as far as it's been going. That's why you, the results that you really can see, only the ones who took it serious. If you notice, only the people who take it serious. Other than that, it never happens because they never follow through with it. Don't be that reason. Don't be the person who's the reason behind that. There's something that the enemy has said, I'm going to use against you. And he's wrapped his hand around and he's been on it ever since. And it's been that way. You're not going to do that anymore. You're going to say, you know what? I see it. I see it. I'm going to move forward. And then it's going to go, Christopher, it's going to start there. That's where you need to start. It's got to start right there. You got to lay that straight. There's a calling on his life. All that's going to, I've seen the Lord. I seen him weeping before God. I saw all that stuff. I've seen him bent over like that. Just weeping before the Lord. Because that's what God will do. That's what he's going to do. And so, and it'll go on to the rest of the children, and you'll speak the words. Some of them are grown older, they can be spoken to directly, but you're still having, I did that with mine. They're grown, still going to talk to them. They don't change the fact I'm always going to be their daddy. And not only that, I'm the pastor. I have a responsibility to tell them even what I don't want to tell them. Because as their father, you don't want to say anything. As their pastor, I got to. And so I hope that you understand this is important. And remember, you got to work together. You got to pull together in this, and you got to listen to each other, and you got to remember, don't side. Don't side. And let me tell you what he also said.